is the Don and Mike Show. Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Look at the boom.
You know, I didn't understand that. I'm sorry. All righty. I'm Al Franken, and I'm covering this convention.
Yeah.
And how are you having a good time?
Yeah.
Who have you talked to so far?
Bouillon.
Maya. I couldn't agree more. Yeah. It was really nice talking to you. I'm glad you're here. I think it's fat.
Are you retarded?
Can I shake your hand?
Yeah.
Thanks a lot. Thank you very much. Thank you, man.
Yep.
Okay, have a good time.
Okay, now we can start the show.
Yes. Have a good time.
Now we can start.
That's the key.
Start the cotton picking show.
I can say, have a good time.
And let me just say, hello.
Hello, Mr. Shannon.
Hello, this is Michael Scott Shannon.
You always say that after I say, hi, Mr. Shannon.
I'm Michael Scott Shannon.
And I'm Milburn Drysdale, president of the Commerce Bank of Beverly Hills and personal banker to Granny.
Shannon in the morning here.
Granny.
Granny. Granny.
Granny.
Granny of the fish. Shannon in the morning.
Yeah, I see fish.
That is poor taste.
Let me take a peek in your pot.
How about some hot groaner action?
It's been a while. Let's get some good ones.
Okay, well, then forget it. What courtroom drama has the biggest attorney?
What courtroom drama has the biggest attorney?
Fatlock.
Oh.
I know.
Oh.
Matlock was on like 100 years ago. Before they invented television, there was a television show called Matlock. Hello, this is Michael Scott Shannon.
And I'm Milburn Drysdale.
What teen drama has kids that are constantly cleaning up?
What?
The OCD.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah. Hello.
Hello.
This is Scott Shannon.
And I'm Milburn Drysdale.
As the numbers get smaller, the jokes get bigger.
Yeah.
What brand of antifreeze does John Travolta use? Kelly Prestone.
Hey, now.
The Don and Mike Show.
Wow.
Every thought in here.
You're looking at me like that's the best one of the three.
Okay.
That one.
Everybody.
I don't know, maybe the one about the OCD.
Sorry.
It's subjective, I guess. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Everybody, how's the groaners?
Oh, yeah.
Hi, Jerry Lewis.
Hello.
Hey, hi, Tony Soprano. Hi, Dynamite.
Hello.
Oh, John Kerry's still here.
Oh, hi there.
Hello.
Hi, Julia.
Hello.
Call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
There you go.
Based on a true story, he was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself, a man of faith, a man of hate, and a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
How you been?
Nice day, isn't it? Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Bacala and all the ships at sea.
Yeah.
They are accidental pickers.
Yes.
Don Geronimo. Michael Vera.
Thanks, everybody, and hello again.
Hello.
I heard you already. Hello.
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 Hi, it is. is the Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
And it's a new episode on this Thursday.
Thursday.
11:04:04.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
No, he's not retarded.
There you go. And it is the 4th of November, 20-04.
Right. And this is the same month, I believe, that Thanksgiving's in. Yeah, no, that is right.
Real good, Warren. That's right.
It's fascinating to me.
877-365-3636, the phone number from anywhere in America.
American Thanksgiving, though.
We elect
not Canadian Thanksgiving.
I just want to make sure that I'm clear. We elected a president yesterday,
right?
And in the same month, we're actually going to enjoy a Thanksgiving dinner with our friends and family.
Turkey, yeah. That's right. And watch for Mike on the next edition of What's Your News?
Man, I'm
going. He's ready. 877-365-3636 from anywhere in America. From Canada, 800-636-1067. Washington, D.C., 202-432-1067. I guess the first order of business, although we're trying to do our off-air business off-air.
Yes.
With this radio company is on air today.
That's right.
Because, frankly, we both have on, I believe, clean blue jeans today.
Yeah, we don't do it like we used to.
No, we don't.
We used to get silly.
No, but today there was a marked movement by both you and I to make sure that we were clean,
right?
That our nails were clean.
Yes.
That we had on clean dungarees.
That's good.
And that our hair was combed.
That's
because
it.
Because we're supposed to, you know, meet with Bobby Bacala from Infinity Radio. And they want to have the meeting with us.
Yeah.
And then we get, here's the thing about these radio guys. And it's like, it's I guess, in any other job.
Sure.
That they're caught in the rain somewhere. Todd Hughes and Bobby Bacala.
Uh-huh.
So rather than just pick up the phone and call me, you know, because Michael Hughes has the cell phone number and knows
right.
the number here at the radio station.
He has a phone.
What he does is he calls his girl. And then his girl calls Beth Ann.
Uh-huh.
And then Beth Ann calls me, all to say that Todd and Bobby Bacala are on their way, but they're running late.
Right.
They're on their way, but they're running late. Which is really no big deal.
Well, and it's not. This was, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, this was going to be a little throwaway meeting. Just a little, hi, how are you? How's everything going? One of those deals.
But the deal is, you know, if you're going to send us the emails and say, show up for meeting, you know, and oh, and the guy's name is Scott. It's just the, you know, Bobby Bacala is what we call him.
Well, it's Bobby and Todd.
Yeah.
Those are their aliases.
In the rain together.
So they're
both evil.
What we're going to do now is attempt to call and see if they would like to have their meeting with us right here on the air. And then
on the air, like bring them into the studio.
We can move on with the show.
Hello,
Michael.
Hi.
Hi. Don and Michael playing your theme here.
Yes, we're playing the management theme.
Wondering if you guys would like to have the meeting with us now.
my erstwhile leader is indisposed.
Oh.
Oh, where is he at?
He's meeting with other people now?
He's at the upstairs lobby office.
Oh.
Oh. And where are you, pray tell?
My office.
All right. Will he be indisposed for long?
Hope not.
Are you giving me code for Toy Toy?
Okay, yeah.
All right, yeah. Okay. All right, thank you. Bye-bye. Then I'm sure he's thinking of us. He's in the right place. He's in the right place to be thinking of us then. Okay, thank you.
No, he just walked in.
Oh, he did?
Oh, yeah. Great. Well, well, first ask if he washed his
hands. Wash your hands.
Anyway.
All right, so
you can put us on speaker if you want.
We're on the air now, but if you'd like, we'll have the meeting on the air.
Okay. They want to have the meeting that we were late for. Okay, yeah. Can you hear us?
Yeah,
you know, our
hear
time,
you right now.
Our time is as valuable as you guys that wear suits.
All right, so we've got Michael and Scott.
Hi, guys.
Hi there.
Todd and Bobby.
So how are you?
We're doing fine. Scott Herman is, Bobby is Todd, Michael's boss.
That's the code names that we have for both of them.
So, Scott, hi.
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 This was great.
Can you tell us?
I think so far the meeting's going great, even though it's on the air.
Could you tell our audience, Scott, your history in broadcasting?
I've been with the company for 26 years.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a round of applause right there.
Sure.
Gratuitous applause break right there.
All with one company, mind you.
That's wonderful.
That's right, same thing.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
In markets like New York and Philadelphia and Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And as you can hear, maybe you can hear the warmth coming through the phone from this guy, that he's got, he's a people person. I don't know if you can tell this.
Absolutely.
The warmth and the, and how many heads will roll, do you think, on this trip to town?
So, well, I just you should point out that anytime his name is mentioned, you know, we all stand up. Automatically here in the studio.
I did notice that you guys had clean jeans on today, though.
Thank you. So, I guess the meeting that you wanted to have.
We're here, you know. And we just wanted to if you needed us for anything, we wanted to. You know, we ran out of time before we had to go on the air, so we wanted to make ourselves available.
Actually, Michael and I had that meeting in the car. You guys did great.
Oh, wonderful.
Okay.
You told me you're exceptionally happy.
Mm-hmm.
You've never been in a better place in your entire career.
Right.
He's totally turned it all around. And you need absolutely nothing from me.
Well, that's wonderful that he was able to succeed in convincing you of that fact.
That's one side of the story.
A real time saver.
All right, well, listen, perhaps we can meet and have a rebuttal at some point.
When are you guys coming to New York to visit me?
Well, I guess as you send, as soon as you sent down some of the, what are the things that the Darth Vader...
It's basically whenever he wants us to come up and pick up the suitcase.
Well, I wonder if Mike wants to come when the Red Sox are destroyed by the Yankees in the first series next year at Yankee Stadium.
Scott, I will tell you this. I didn't allude to it before, but I will tell you this, that I will never set foot in that temple known as Yankee Stadium. It's against everything I believe in.
And listen, could you pick up for just a second, Scott?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thanks. This is very nice. He's very nice to go on the air with us. And
My pleasure.
We appreciate it.
Listen, this guy Hughes, I'm really, really not sure about him. You know, I don't know if we've really made an upgrade at the position, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, you know, I don't know what rumors you've heard, but, the two things that... Pathological liar.
Really?
Yeah.
And
I don't know whether it's true or not. It's just what we hear.
Listen, I know that this is the new Infinity and Viacom, and that everyone is welcome. I just want to say, have you checked out his glasses?
Yeah.
And after you've checked out his glasses, have you wondered perhaps if he watches a lot of Will and Grace?
Really?
Yeah. You know, rumors running.
Anyway,
another rumor.
Great talking to you, Scott. Thank you for
your time. Are you enjoying the new warm and fuzzy and sensitive Infinity Broadcasting?
Yes, it's delightful.
When does it start?
Next Tuesday.
All right, thanks, Scott.
I look forward to it.
Take care, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Now, that ass we kiss.
Yes. Yeah. He's got that... he's been with the company a long time, and he has that aura about him where, you know, that command respect aura.
So, you know, they had the meeting in the car without us.
Yeah.
And that's okay because I would rather have them have the meeting without us anyway.
Oh, absolutely.
They know what we're about.
I enjoyed having the meeting on the air.
That's funny.
They're very happy.
That's funny. And the thing now is Bobby Bacala will now say to Todd Hughes, take out your fag glasses. I mean, he won't say it that way.
Sure.
But he will say, at some point, he will say, at least take out the glasses.
And then
let me see what the guys are talking about.
Followed up by, who said you were a pathological liar?
or Hughes. Perhaps Hughes will go with this tack.
Right.
I don't watch The Sopranos, but Bobby Bacala, is he a main character? How exactly would he be known on the show?
You know, it's not like it used to be, though, is it? Do you know why I think it's not like it used to be? Because I think, really, people cruise around this building, you know, people other than us, kind of oblivious to what's it. Do you remember the old days when, like, a suit would come in? Everybody would be out of their mind.
You'd have to get dressed up and everything. But now it's like today. It's the email thing, you know. Yeah. Poobah's coming. You know, Bobby Bacala's coming. Get ready.
Mm-hmm.
Get ready. Get ready to change. Get ready. More change happening.
Mm-hmm.
But the more things change, the more we just keep doing the same stupid show every day. So
looking forward to Tuesday when it gets so warm and fuzzy around.
Yeah, that'll be great. Let's do that. Let me see. What's this number? Do, do, do.
Okay. Do, 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 do.
Make a quick call to my wonderful Cuddy Honey.
I was
informed that she had lunch.
Hi, this is Geronimo.
Oops, hold on a second. Now, where the hell is she? Hold on a second. Give me a second.
Sure. Because she had lunch with Beth Ann today.
Really?
And I don't want her to tell any secrets out of school, but I'm curious to know if she crawled inside the flesh of Beth Ann, because Beth Ann is very much an enigma to all of us.
Indeed. Without question.
I mean, she's a great producer. She's like one of the guys.
She's a good, solid Republican.
Yeah, we're not holding that against her.
Not me.
Hi, baby.
Hi, sweetie.
Listen, without giving up any secrets, you went out today with Beth Ann. They have a meeting with the webmaster and talk about our website and stuff. But I know that you conversed with her one-on-one, gal-to-gal.
Yeah, because I like her. I mean, I only met her for the first time the other day when I came to the radio station. Okay, and cool. I know it's hard when you move to a new area, so yeah, so I would have liked to have gotten together with her if she, you know, didn't know that many people in this area.
And she just blew you off on that, right?
Right. Well, pretty much, but I didn't take offense. No.
And that's not why I bring it up. I bring it up because Frida found out something. I had thought this about Beth Ann for the longest time. Oh, no, not that, Mike.
Okay.
Would you tell everybody? Shut up, you.
I didn't say anything.
I know. You don't have to say anything. With
okay.
Mike, how gay is this?
Yeah, no.
Speaking of fact, you don't have to say it with words. You're saying it with your eyes.
Well, you caught me by surprise there. That's what happened just
Listen to the hours that this woman works.
Mm.
Are you ready for this? Yeah, baby, tell them.
I know. And Colette was telling me while I was waiting for her, too. She's there at, I don't know, 8:30 in the morning, and she works 12 hours.
Yeah, but it's not all quality time.
Oh, no. She worked, when I was waiting for her, she was working hard. I could barely squeeze in her getting to go away with me for lunch.
Wow. I was joking.
We all know. We're frankly concerned.
No, but you know what? I know you were kidding, but a lot of people are at work and they're just screwing around. You know?
No, she's, yeah. And as a matter of fact, I wish she would start screwing around at work. I think that that's... Maybe she should take a trip up to Cameron's office someday.
I wasn't thinking sex, but I did offer her a Valium. I mean, she's just tightly wound.
Well, that's,
she's a ball of nerve.
That's very nice.
That's nice. Yeah. Hi, I know it's only the second time we've met, but
here,
please enjoy some of my prescription drugs.
May I say something to everybody right now?
Yeah.
Take it from me, Mike O'Meara. A 12-hour workday will do her good. It does me. Thank you.
So anyway, did she take your pill?
I didn't really have one. It was a rhetorical Valium.
Do you have them at home if I ever need one?
No, I'm not. I'm Ms. Natural. You know that. My husband is the take anything, do anything man. I'm the one that
protects
my body. I'm like the Jerry it wasn't Jerry Maguire. It was North Dallas. Was it North Dallas 40? I respect my body.
But wasn't there a day when you would do some Valium? You took some Valiums in a day.
You've got some for when you fly and stuff.
Yeah.
The only time I did was I got some for exactly when I flew, and I didn't like it because then you couldn't drink. I mean, I know people do, but
that's what they say.
Sure, you can.
A wives' tale.
But I'd rather drink because if I took one at the same time I had a drink, I fell asleep and drooled. So I didn't like that look.
But anyway, to answer your question, Mike, I've got literally thousands of them stockpiled.
Yeah.
Well, with my emotional history.
Medicine cabinets and medicine cabinets.
All I got to do is walk into a doctor's office. I know I used to complain about this all the time before, but now since this new influx of everybody's got some type of emotional disease,
right.
As soon as I walk in the doctor's office,
sure.
First thing they do is, before insurance or anything, hi, would you like 60, 90, or 180?
That's nice.
As soon as I walk in, they know I'm nuts.
Here's your suitcase full of OxyContin.
They know that. Well, no, see, not that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I get just the other stuff.
Oh, the other stuff.
The other stuff.
Sure.
Yeah, there's the stuff that the desperate housewives like.
Works for me, huh?
I know, boo.
Works for me.
Whatever makes you happy. Although you were a little too happy when I came home last night. I don't know what.
Oh.
I don't know if it was a combination of drink and NyQuil.
Yeah, it was.
You were a little sloppy last night.
I'm fighting a cold. I'm a fighter.
A lot of people are.
And last night I had a drink. And then thought after I had the drink, you know, I really feel like crap.
Yeah.
It would have really helped the way I feel is some NyQuil.
Some more alcohol.
And I sat down on the couch, and my wife came in about a half hour later, and she's like, I stood up, and she looked at me. Right away, she knows something's not right. She says,
it was Foster Brooks.
How many drinks you have? I said, one. You know, looking at her incredulously, not even knowing that.
One.
We go out in the kitchen. I go, oh, I forgot NyQuil.
NyQuil.
Yeah,
NyQuil.
Try the cocktail we used to use in college, occasionally, only for medicinal purposes.
Of course.
Which was cherry NyQuil and Coke.
Gross.
Oh. It helped you feel better. Oh. Tell me if you were sick.
Sounds pretty good.
It wasn't for pleasure.
God, how beastly is that?
I don't dig NyQuil.
It's amazing I'm alive.
I'd take one now.
I really only take NyQuil when I am not feeling good.
Cherry NyQuil and Coke.
Mm. That's it. Oh. So, honey, Beth Ann McBride.
I offered an evening out with the lovely Marcia Burbank and myself, and she said, I'll pass.
All right.
Wow.
All right, listen, I just wanted you to give her the checkup from the neck up to make sure that...
She's a hard worker. You hang on to her.
I love her. No, she's great. Are you kidding?
Yeah, right.
She's fantastic. I mean, there's a part of me that hopes she never gets any interests outside, you know, just serving the needs of the show right now.
She's a worker bee. She likes being there. She likes working.
She's very dedicated.
And you guys are the best show on radio. And, of course, you... Just because of your wife, that had nothing to do with what she was saying.
I think this is the biggest piece of crap show that I've ever been on straight radio. I can't wait to go back to Winston-Salem or whoever. Okay, so she's okay.
Yeah, she's good.
All right, very good. Love you.
All right, I'm good, too. Love you.
Well, I know you. Listen, I know you are.
All right, you can check up on me.
Spend every day with you.
Hey, Frida.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm quite well, thank you, Mike.
Okay. How are you anyway?
Goodbye, boo-boo.
All right, goodbye. All right, so that's her side. Now let's call Beth Ann.
Doesn't care to socialize. I guess that's probably for the best.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey.
So, let's see. You turned down the Valium.
She did offer.
Yeah, you turned that down. Everything else okay?
Yeah.
Okay, 12-hour days not killing you? I mean, you're like Joe Gibbs. Really? You're like one of those coaches that sleeps in the office.
But I don't. I work in
I know.
At least you found time to vote.
I was going to ask you a logistical question. With the coming in so early, which is, you know, okay with me, because I'm up anyway at 5 o'clock in the morning, and Beth Ann and I often talk before 7 a.m.
Yeah, as do we.
However, you know, I'm not getting off my fat ass and coming into work. I'm at home. You know,
I set a record today, believe it or not.
What?
What the time I woke up.
What time did you get up today?
Seriously?
Yeah.
11 o'clock.
Oh, my God.
Wow. 11 o'clock. I wish I could.
11 o'clock today? You mean you just woke up 4 hours ago?
Yes.
Yeah, what time did you go to bed?
4 o'clock.
Okay.
Yes. Solid 7 hours.
You are my hero. You are really my hero.
Yeah.
You're my hero.
Well, you know, if we all did the same stuff, it wouldn't be very interesting, would it?
I know, and I felt like such a jerk watching TV when...
That's the reason, incidentally, is because I did go to bed at 4 o'clock. That's the reason I got up at 11. But I've never been able to do that. That's like the first time that I've been able to sleep literally past 8 o'clock in a very, very long time.
When Bush was on TV today, and I want to talk about him, what a great performance he gave today. One of the things he was commenting on was staying up all night for the night of the election, and mentioned that he normally likes to go to bed around 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock.
And there's like some mild cackling,
chuckling,
people laughing about this.
Right.
You know, I'm afraid I line up with him there.
Sure.
With me, I like being in bed at 10.
Well, something's got to give you. You get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, you're going to go to bed at 10 o'clock at night.
I watch TV and everything. But, Beth Ann, here was my point with you.
Yeah.
Is the fact that you get here in the morning because you just got to get to this crappy station, or do you not have a computer, the laptop at home, where you can do the stuff at home?
I have a computer. I don't want to do the stuff at home. I mean, when I finally do get home... You know, I think about the show, but I don't want to be doing work for the show. I mean, I watch TV, I try to tape stuff.
Because I know that you were so incredibly poor and you couldn't afford the fantasy football, I thought that perhaps you couldn't afford a computer. But you have a computer at home.
Yeah.
So you don't really have to be here as early as you are.
So are you running away from something?
No, I'm not running away, but I need to print stuff. I don't want to do the work that I want to do the non-mic work here.
Do you need a printer?
But I would prefer to do it at home because if... I used to do my work when I was a program director at home.
Yeah.
And instead of working 12 to 15-hour days, I worked 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I leave it.
Okay. I have a question. What's taking so long?
Well, you know, I believe it or not, there's a lot that needs to be done.
Mike, You're funny. On a morning when you woke up at 11 o'clock.
11 o'clock.
Well rested. Yeah.
That's funny.
Fresh.
All right, Beth.
Not really.
Just, you know, like I said, just giving you the checkup from the neck up.
Okay.
That's it. Okay.
Okay. All right.
Talk to you.
Goodbye, darling.
Concerned. There she is, Beth Ann McBride. So she's okay, I guess. She's
I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, how do you feel about that conversation there? Did she sound okay to you? She didn't sound okay to me.
Listen, I think that this is the way that she is. I think we
I can't figure her out. I know that I don't compliment her anymore.
We lucked into her.
I think she's fantastic.
What do you don't compliment her anymore?
I used to compliment her all the time. She's not the kind of person that you compliment really that much.
Doesn't work.
Or you do things for, you know, it's just, she seems to be satisfied with her job.
Self-sufficient. And
that's right.
But I mean, it's, you know, you get so used to people that whine and complain and you really, it's just surprising, Rob.
I know you, like me, are probably of the mind that after working with us for over 6 months, her spirit would have been broken
normally
by this point. But no, I think we got us a rare one there.
I think it's somebody who just really loves the work. I think I hope so.
And, you know, as soon as she discovers boys, we're going to be in a lot of trouble.
Absolutely.
But until that happens.
I just like to know what we can do for her.
Well, I've always.
If there's anything we can do for her.
I've always had my thought, you know, of what I think Beth Ann really.
Well, you might be
needs
right.
And deserves.
Can we just call her back very briefly? I just want to know what we can do for her. Because I think the answer will be telling.
I think the answer will be no, but we'll see.
No, but I mean, no, I'm not asking a yes or no, Buzz.
Hello?
Hi. Beth Ann, what can we do for you?
You're doing everything that you need to do for me right now.
See?
Really?
Yeah.
What about a very discreet escort service? I mean, I'm talking.
Really?
I'm talking very discreet.
You know, my personality does tend to be extreme.
On the weekends, for example, like on a Friday night,
babe.
When you're not coming in, do you knock a few back?
No.
So you don't drink at all?
No, I will drink.
What do you drink? When you drink, what do you drink?
A Corona.
A Corona.
You know what I believe?
What is the ideal, seriously, what is the ideal Friday night for you?
How do you unwind?
Yeah, thank you, buddy.
I really don't unwind on Friday.
Anytime. Ever.
Saturday.
whenever you unwind.
Saturday as we try to chisel at this exterior here.
Saturday when I come in here at 9 o'clock as opposed to 7.
See? Oh. Now that's retarded.
I know. It really is.
Do you own a gun?
Do I? No, I don't own a gun.
That's a relief.
What do you, I mean,
see, I was thinking she was going to give you the answer that I would give, which is just, you know, antisocial, burned out. Because what do I do on Friday night? My wife knows that's not the night that I want to do anything. I want to be by myself,
right,
in front of the TV on Friday night and replay every show that we had all week and convince myself that I don't suck.
Try to stop crying.
And try to get the courage up to come in and do a show on Monday. that's my process on Friday, but obviously that's not Beth Ann. A process,
right?
So when you finally do,
when you get your 1 or 2 hours of recreation time that you allow yourself during an entire week,
your 60 to 120 minutes.
What would be? I'm not saying that you do it every week, but if you have an opportunity, what would you do for fun?
I would probably go to downtown Alexandria and walk around and go into the shops. And watch people and have a bite to eat. That's it.
Oh, my.
The wild one.
Oh, my.
Oh, my God.
I used to go to the movies, but I can't afford them here.
Oh, no.
And I look at that. Don't start this little orphan thing.
I wouldn't worry about that because you're getting a big tax break after the election.
Yeah. And don't start this little orphan Annie stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, forget it.
They're really, you know what? If you want to go to the movies, for God's sakes, I'll buy you some gift certificates.
Use your football winnings money.
I already did.
I already did. All right. Well, she's Beth Ann McBride. She is an enigma to us.
And there's nothing we need to do.
Yeah.
So there's nothing you need. There's nothing you want. There's nothing you require.
No, just have a good show.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, hey, listen, I dig that about her. It's okay. I'm just waiting for the day when she's up on top of the building with an AK-47.
Absolutely.
You know, just wait.
Or you just come into the producer's room and she's rocking with a knife. She's rocking back and forth. Put the knife down, Beth.
And why do I keep thinking of the movie Misery?
Yeah, that's right.
Why do I keep
and
thinking
it's
of...
you, and it's you up in the master bedroom.
Yeah.
It's called hobbling, Paul.
Am I Kathy Bates?
Well, in that case, you would be, and I sadly would be James Caan. You know, who got his legs busted.
I don't want to warn anybody, but just can I tell people, please, if Beth Ann offers anybody on this show any kind of medication, please don't take
or
it.
Food.
Or food. Man, he's been sick over a long period of time. That's what arsenic does.
All right, B.A., well, okay. If you're okay, we're okay.
Okay, bye-bye.
Hey, did you see never mind. There she is.
She's trying to get off.
Back to work. I was going to ask if she had seen her man on TV today. He was late for the show.
Ah.
Bush's big I won press conference.
He knows he's the man now.
And
he knows he is the man.
He's the funniest. he's just a swinging Richard Cheney,
right?
He comes out and he's got the swagger,
right?
And he's calling these news guys out by name. Yeah, you, David, and for some reason he's busting the balls of David Gregory, and he's laughing, and he's even so absolutely full of himself and just busting with confidence that he says something. I don't remember exactly what it was. You'll see it tonight. It's like only at on er demand. And he stops for a second. He goes, only in on demand pay per view. Then he looks at the camera, and everybody goes, I garbled the language. I know it.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's a little nervous laughter from
in
the room.
That they love him for it.
And he looks off to the side of the stage as if like someone's giving him the thumbs up, like, you know, okay, this is okay, you're making fun of yourself. And he goes, well, that's kind of an inside thing. That's inside. Like, what? That's an inside joke?
That you garble the language?
But boy, oh boy. The word to describe him would be rooster-like.
Yeah,
I mean, he's
a peacock.
And I can say this now, with the FCC, he was a cock on the walk today.
I think, you know, he had a swagger before this. He's got more of a swagger now.
And, you know, I'll say
Carl Rove, the architect. I don't know bugged me, but it did.
I'll say this for him. You know, and we're not going to be political as a nature by a show, because we're past the elections. That will make fun of him like we did before.
Sure.
But I told you before the election, the thing that crystallized it for me with Bush is, even with all the goofing we do on him, he does make his position very well known. You know his stance on anything. I was not for the war. He was saying we're going to be there. That's his plan. So he made my decision easy. I'm watching him today, and they're saying, how are you going to bring the country together? How will you bring together Republicans and Democrats in Congress?
Yes.
He's asked this question about six times. And every time he answers exactly the same. And listen to the answer. I will find those who agree with me on what we should do.
You mean the people on the other side of the aisle?
Yeah. I will find those who agree with me.
So he's looking for Democrats who agree with him.
And will welcome them as we formulate my plan. And then the next time he gets asked about it, and again he says, I'm all for bringing America together. What I want to do is find the people who believe my ideas and then invite them in.
That's a compromise.
That's how it's going to be. Yeah.
So anyway,
you know what? The way things look now,
it's funny.
It's exactly what he can do.
Yep. It's funny. And boy, oh boy, last comment on him. Does he know he's in charge?
Oh, yeah.
Does he know now that he got the second year, the second term that Dad didn't get?
Right.
And it's like, the feeling that I got from him was a kid that finally got his driver's license.
Right.
Dad could no longer say, you can only drive when I'm in the car.
No longer restricted.
And what he's saying up there is, he's at a press conference at a podium and basically just saying, dude, I can drive the car whenever I want. I can take it wherever I want. I can put any bumper sticker on it I want, because 54 million people think that I can do it.
That's it. That's the attitude.
Anyway, more power to him, I guess. He's funny.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what a what a president with this kind of mandate will do to for the country.
He's funny. Oh, I don't have time today to talk about Young, the DirecTV guy, who will come on the air.
Oh, good.
Incidentally, I had a nice long conversation with
Wonderful.
Young today.
Man, he told you to stay off your roof.
That's right. Mike, oh, hold on. I know I do want to ask you something.
Okay.
Tell me how you burned your girlfriend's dog.
The beluga is a pug, and we are crate training him, and so when he gets in the crate, he's had a little issue with it, and when I mean issue, he's having issue, and last night.
So the dog is going number two in the crate,
and it's more than anything else is I think because his diet has to be adjusted, so he doesn't have he's not a solid citizen right now. That's the best way that I can put it.
Let me just explain. Remember, it doesn't have an animal. It's the same thing we did with Joe Ardinger when we first hired Joe.
We crate train him. We feed Joe and water Joe in his cage and then let him out to you know go to the bathroom.
And eventually the message we wanted to give to Joe is not to defecate
right.
where he's eating and living.
Well, I have to apologize to the pug dog because I decided...
Joe learned, incidentally, after only 3 or 4 weeks.
He was very, very good.
We had to use
the electric fence for a while, but that was, that was very short-lived. And I have to apologize to Carla's dog because I decided she's the one that always... Because it's her dog, I don't really have anything to do with the dog. And this is one time I decided I would help when I saw that the dog... had an accident, and I was running out of the house, but I decided that I would clean the crate and, you know, basically shampoo the dog because the dog gets messy, too. So I bring the dog over to the sink and just kind of keep my hand on his back.
Right.
And run the water. And then, you know, in the meantime, I'm, like, doing things like throwing a couple of cans of soda in the trash, and I'm just doing other things as the water is warming up. What I don't realize is this new house that I have has a brand-new gas-powered super nuclear water heater. And I don't realize at the time that as the water is heating up, I've got it on full hot.
Mm.
And so the first thing I was going to do was my sink has one of these little spray features on the sink. And I hit the button for the spray feature, and I didn't realize that I don't know what the temperature of the water was, but it was hot enough that when it hit the little dog's paw, the dog literally went airborne. It was like an electrical shock, and I got the,
yay!
And the dog...
I am the god of hellfire, yeah. And I bring you fire.
It was very quick.
Degrees.
I felt so bad. I really did. I immediately, you know, turned the water off, and I got it back down to a manageable temperature. And to the best of my knowledge, I didn't, like, burn the hair off the dog. But it was, I had to, you know, I hosed down his little feet and his little tummy where he was.
It felt so bad.
I am the god of hellfire. Bring you fire.
The dog is like pooping 15 times an hour. It's
that's a lot.
It's more than it's a little less than I do, but I mean it's very bad.
And they're keeping it on the all tomato diet.
I don't know what the deal is. I mean, we're feeding the dog not conventional dog food. We're actually feeding the dog hummus.
Hold on, the hotline is ringing. We got a break unless this is Alan Thick calling us early.
No, this is Carrie Ann actually calling for Alan Thick just to see how you guys are doing.
Of course. Hold on, please. Oh, and now the secret's out of the bag.
Oh, hey, we'll just tipped the hand.
We'll be talking to Alan Thick in a moment.
Mike, you're what? Grounded.
Hold on, please, darling. Whoever she is. Mm-hmm. That would be for Beth Ann to handle.
Carrie Ann.
Carrie Ann.
Hey, another Ann. Another something Ann.
Hey, Carrie Ann. What's your game now? Can anybody play?
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
He's the Don and Mike Show. He's the Don and Mike Show.
Today we have a singer. His name is Andrea 3000.
Andrea.
Yeah. Okay, whatever. Andre 3000.
Andrea is a girl.
What do you think about the convention, Andre?
Man, I think convention is like really wild, like a big party.
Really 1, 2, 3. Info Joy Boy, Don and Mike.
Let's do a little chart. Hey y'all. Mix here.
Holy, 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 holy,
that pretty good.
Very nice. Ah.
Pretty good on the fly. What do you think, Bob?
Could I have a glass of tequila, please?
Of course you can.
There you go, Bob.
All right, the Tards also introduced, let me see, besides Andre 3000, who they introduced at the, I guess, at the Democratic Convention, they also introduced Barbara Boxer. We've not heard that one yet.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Affleck, I told you that was a great one because, really, when you're watching this tape and when you're listening to the tape of these people at the conventions, you really don't know who's who.
Right, exactly. It was right. Ben
in
Affleck,
the case of
right.
Ben Affleck, really.
It's the best example.
And I'm not kidding way. Because it was one of the, politically correct, it's one of the challenged people,
mm-hmm.
But one of the challenged people who doesn't wear it on his sleeve.
Right.
Like the others do.
I see. So you can't tell, really, going right. between
it would,
the two.
It would appear to be, if you're just watching the videotape and you had the sound off,
uh-huh.
you might think it was like a teenage news show.
Right, oh, right.
And then
very nice.
If you watch it a second time and you say, okay, one of the people on this tape is retarded,
mm-hmm.
without turning the volume up,
uh-huh.
see if you can guess which one of them is retarded.
And you have trouble discerning between Ben Affleck and the individual.
The first thing that would make you think maybe it wasn't Ben Affleck, you go, well, the guy on the right's got a real nice suit on.
Uh-huh. Right.
He said, well, they took all of the retarded people out and bought him new clothes before the interview.
That's
now,
wonderful.
Now what do you think?
I hate to, promote anything Canadian, but this show reruns on Trio, Channel 315, DirecTV, Sunday at 10:30 in the morning.
Ah, very good.
Well, thank you.
Check it out.
Make a note of that.
And now joining us is, I think we gave this away before in the commercials, Alan Thicke.
Alan Thicke!
Now, who knows what the hell Alan Thicke is promoting. But we're ready for him, and Rob is ready for him, because we're going to look at this from the standpoint of music, that we had Brian Wilson on the show 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
I was out of my mind for Brian Wilson.
That's right. Yeah.
And,
same way I feel about Alan Thicke.
Greatest musician of all time. Mike, you're saying that's a joke, but you do not know the vast musical history that Alan Thicke has provided us.
And really? Rob's got the brain full of that,
no,
right?
Rob really knows all of Alan Thicke. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I've always heard, I don't know if it's true, I want to get to the bottom of this urban legend, I think he sang the theme to Three's Company.
Come and knock on our door.
Also wrote Facts of Life, another great song.
Like wrote that theme?
Yeah.
Wrote that one.
And
give me another one.
The theme to the Diamond Head game. Let's hear a moment of that.
The
Diamond Head game?
Sublime game show?
Yes.
Would this be one of his obscure tracks?
One of my favorites.
What is your
favorite?
The Diamond Head game?
Yes, he wrote this.
What is the Diamond Head game?
Is it
a game show?
Yeah, a Hawaiian flavored game show.
Okay, all right.
So here he is now.
Oh,
Alan,
it's
Alan
Wilson. Hello?
He got me with that. I thought he was really on now.
He is.
Brian Wilson, can I help you?
This is Tom Gavin.
I know.
No, it's not. It's Elvis.
Tom, hold on a second, Tom.
Hold on, Tom.
Hold on, Tom. Yeah, sometimes I keep Tom just for emergencies.
Yes.
All right, Beth, and here he is now. Alan Thicke, everybody.
Alan Thicke.
Alan?
The sound of one hand clapping.
No. Many.
We do our very best. We got about four guys trying to generate that applause.
Many hands clapping. Rob Spiewak, musical expert.
Yes.
Please to be jumping to the microphone and ask.
Anything going on in Washington this week?
Not much.
No, not a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Alan.
We're kind of played out on that whole thing.
I guess.
Yeah.
What was going through your mind when you came up with the melody to the theme to the Diamond Head game?
You know, that is the most obscure question I've been asked by anybody other than divorce attorney.
Now, that is worthy of applause.
Yeah, that's good. You got him.
But thanks for asking. Actually, I was trying to rip off the Jack Lord Hawaii 5-0
theme.
Let's hear a bit of this. I mentioned to you that Alan Thicke is one of Rob's favorite musicians of all time. Rob, give us another Alan Thicke hit, as long as your idol's on the phone.
If you could go to Cut 11.
Yeah.
Now, this is not, I believe, the Wheel of Fortune theme we're all familiar with.
We're taking a walk down your musical memory lane, Alan.
Where do you dig up this crap?
This is the Wheel of Fortune theme known as Big Wheels.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I don't remember this.
Wait, you wrote this?
Let me tell you the story behind that. That was the original theme song to the Wheel of Fortune. It ran for 8 years when the show was on the network. Then when it went into syndication, Merv Griffin, who owns the show Wheel of Fortune, saw how much money I was making in royalties. He needed the cash to buy the rest of the Bahamas, so he gassed mine and replaced it with his own.
Wow. So this one was yours.
I mean, I appreciate Rob digging up this stuff, and I appreciate Alan Stick commenting on that. That is a fascinating story. I think Wheel of Fortune has been on the air for so many years, you don't even associate this theme with it, but it ran for a good long time. I love it.
It ran for 8 years on NBC before it ever went syndicated.
That's neat.
Now, this is a favorite game show theme of mine because it's a vocal. This is the theme to The Wizard of Odds.
Uh-huh.
The Wizard of Odds?
Yeah.
Okay, now listen very carefully. First of all, do you know who hosted that show?
The Wizard of Odds. I'll take a guess. I'll say Tom Kennedy.
No, no.
Are you still guessing?
Let Rob guess. Rob is really the expert here. Rob?
I will guess Wizard of Odds. I'll say...
Jack Barry?
Well, that's a good
guess. It was the very first hosting job in the United States for this particular guy.
Alex Trebek?
He co-founded the celebrity hockey team with me.
Hmm.
And you're absolutely right. It's Alex Trebek.
Oh,
and I brought him to this country, and you'll also know that the sparkling vocal... on this rendition was done by yours truly.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Good. Very good. Without further ado.
It's the kind of vocal that kept me out of the big time.
Alan Thicke.
Who's a man with the money, makes a dark day sunny? Who's a fella every day, gives a bundle away? Who's the guy with the prizes that'll light up your eyes? It's never ending, get a friend and get ready to play. Hey. It's the Wizard of Oz.
Well, what can I say?
That is so cool.
Now, did you notice all the clever internal rhyme scheme?
It's genius.
And you might also notice that this was the very first daytime television game show theme song vocal.
With lyrics.
And possibly
the last one.
Huh. Do you know, weren't we talking to some professor who's offering a course in American Idol? I think this could actually become a college course right now, is Alan Thicke and his relation to music and game shows.
Now, Alan, may I ask you to address an urban legend?
Uh-huh.
Is it true, even though you are not on the closing credits, did you sing the theme to Three's Company?
No, I did not. I am credited on that Rhino Records compilation album.
Oh, okay.
But, and I've done a lot of really lousy music in my time, but I can't take the blame for.
All right, then, Rob, let's move right to the chart toppers.
Yeah, you know what?
All right, we're going to get into the big stuff now.
It's been so nice that he's indulged us. Let's indulge him.
Okay.
With his biggest hit and my favorite.
All right.
Yeah. Seriously, Alan, what was it like? A six-pack of beer and
you got it. If you really want to dig into your trivia reservoir,
okay.
You know who sang that song.
Oh, hold on. I do. She's an actress.
I'll give you a hint. She was also my ex-wife.
Was she on a soap opera?
Yes, she was.
Is it Deidre Hall?
No, but you get the right soap.
It was Days of Our Lives, right?
Right soap, wrong wife.
Was it Gloria Loring?
Gloria Loring?
Yeah.
Gloria Loring.
Oh, that's right. She actually had a hit record after she left you.
Yes, yeah, number one.
I mean, she really...
All she needed was a better partner. She had a duet with Carl Anderson.
Yeah, right. No offense. I remember.
Now, Alan, when you brought B.J. Thomas and Jennifer Warnes into the studio to do the theme Growing Pains, did they consult with you?
Not only did they not consult me, they ignored me completely. But that's mostly because that theme song was written by somebody else, and it was recorded, signed, sealed, and delivered before I was even cast.
So you had nothing to do with that one.
I'll give you another little trivia. You know who wrote the Growing Pains theme song?
Who?
Is the father of a famous actor.
Oh, let's play the game. Okay, a father of a famous actor.
Was it George Clooney's father?
No, I'll give you another hint. The actor's name, the father's name, is also coincidentally the name of a character Tim Conway has created and done comedy videos about.
Dorf?
There you go. You're getting warm.
Dorf?
Steven Dorf?
Steven Dorf's father, whose name is?
The guy from Animal House, you mean?
Mr. Dorf.
Whose name is Steven Dorf.
Oh, well, there you go.
That's Steven Dorf Jr. and Senior combo there.
And Ken Dorfman was the character in Animal
House.
That's right.
Sorry.
Show me that smile. Show me
You had nothing to do with this except other than being on the show.
Every time I hear it, my heart warms for the royalties.
Rob just gave me the real nerd look, too.
Yep.
Yeah, he starred in it.
Would this have been a hit without Alan Thicke? No.
I don't think so.
You are a nerd.
Yes, and, I'm an Alan Thicke nerd.
Alan, back in the day when you were really just banging these things out, these themes, how much, if you don't mind me, how much coin would you make? You come up with a theme song for The Facts of Life. Show that runs for 5-7 years on the network, then runs another 10 years in syndication.
Yeah.
Do you get a lot of money, a little bit of money, no money?
You do pretty well because of the pervasiveness of the song.
Right.
You don't get much. It's not like they pay you a big fee out front, but you keep a little bit of publishing. You keep a little bit of you keep the writing royalties. And if it runs for 20 years around the world in 60 or 70 countries and then later on ends up now in the new technology of ringtones.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Hey, you can actually have Different Strokes or Facts of Life on your cell phone.
Oh, hey, we just had that guy from Billboard magazine all about that.
Yeah, it's substantial. It's worthwhile. You don't buy islands and airplanes with it. But it's a nice little taste, and it becomes part of your legacy, obviously, as you guys have proved today. And I'm proud to be the subject of bar bets among drunken college fraternity.
That's what we wanted to talk to you about, was the songs you wrote for TV. And Mike, would you just do your Alan Thicke impression?
I do an Alan Thicke impression, Alan, that I've been doing for a very, very long time. It only involves one line, and it's from your television show. And when anybody ever asks me to do Alan Thicke, I say, Mike, you're grounded. That's it. There he is. Thank you. I'm here all week.
Would it be possible that you, Alan Thicke, could say, Mike O'Mara, you're grounded?
Okay.
Okay, you ready?
Yes. Yeah.
Mike O'Mara, you're grounded. Did I get the job?
That will live forever on our show. Absolutely.
Listen, now, did you need to plug something?
I got a couple of things to plug.
Okay, let's do the plugs then.
Actually, I'll plug about three things. Since you guys are obviously music fans,
uh-huh.
This isn't really a plug. This is just me kind of bragging. I have a very talented son named Robin who has about 15 platinum albums now. For songs that he's written for other people. He's on the new Usher album. He's on Pink's album. He's on Christina Aguilera.
Didn't he do something?
So he's quite fabulous, and he's got a new record coming out on Interscope probably in February.
He had a hit like last year where he sampled a fifth of Beethoven, didn't he?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, it was very cool.
He's a great young man and very talented, and I wouldn't want anybody to be biased against his fabulous artistic musical approach, be prejudiced by my four-chord hack productivity over the years.
I think your kid is working with Usher and working with Pink, that I don't think they're holding Facts of Life against him.
No, not at all.
Not one bit.
I taught him four chords and accounting.
Excellent.
There you go.
All right, plug number one.
So that's one plug. The other plug is for a show, a big deal I got going in Vegas, and I can give out a telephone number, and the first 100 callers get invited to Vegas. They get 3 days, 2 nights. They get the show tickets and the whole treatment.
Wow.
And then while they're there, if they choose, they can screen test for a new reality show that we're doing in February. So if you got your pencils out, I'll give you that number.
Well, yeah, everybody get ready, because, I mean, this is
for 100 callers get a trip to Vegas. They'll treat you right. This is my sponsor. Will be taking your calls. It's 877-33-GO-WIN. 877-33-GO-WIN.
And before the final plug,
yeah.
No one knows, I don't believe, that he also gave us this masterpiece.
Now the world don't move to the beat of just one drum.
What you talking about, Willis?
Really?
Different Strokes? You did that one, Alan?
I did. That's my vocal, too.
You gotta be sitting on a pile of money.
I've also been married twice.
Oh, well, never mind.
You're preaching to the choir there, pal.
Yeah.
Oh, now, Alan, my sympathies. Sorry about that.
What's your third plug, Alan?
That's called making a mountain into a molehill.
That's exactly what it is.
I gave you that number, 877-33-GO-WIN.
Gotcha.
And now the third plug is consult your local time and listings. There's a Fox Celebrity Sports Invitational from Alaska that I'm hosting that's on this week all over the country. And the reason we bring it up is that the Chris Reeve Paralysis Foundation has been one of the beneficiaries over the years of this effort to the tune of over $1 million. Also, the Dream Foundation, which grants terminal adults with lifelong wishes. And so we're, you know, everybody, we're all a little sentimental about Chris Reeve and stem cell initiatives and that kind of thing. So it's a fun little show, but mostly we want people to be thinking about Chris and the foundation and be aware that this Fox Celebrity Sports Invitational has been in his honor and to his benefit over the years.
Well, sounds like a good deal, and it's a real pleasure to talk to you.
Hey, you are not only a delight to talk to, but a font of information. We really appreciate it.
A font of useless information.
And hold on, I got it.
Hey,
we'll play
talking to you guys. Hold on. We'll talk again when we have something to promote.
We'll play you out with the theme from, what is this, Rob?
Diamond Head Game.
And make sure it's something I get 11 cents for.
Hey, hold on a second, Alan. Hold on. Beth Ann needs to talk to you. There is the musician that Rob loves the most.
Sure. Rob, I had no idea you were bananas for Alan Thicke. Right.
Mr. Alan Thicke.
Hey, Alan Thicke was a lot of fun to talk to.
Yeah. And he?
And I want that tape forever on the show.
Michael Murray, you're grounded. Count on it. When we come back, are you ready for the hard board courts of the NBA?
Fantastic.
Be right.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You hide your enthusiasm.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Well, first of all, I want to address something. I hear ESPN is trying to f*** me. And you guys are trying to make a controversy. There's not going to be a controversy. I was joking around with one of my friends. And that's it. If you don't like it, f*** you and your families, too. Now let's talk about the game.
The Don and Mike Show. A big part of the Salt Lake City scene.
Well,
the Don and Mike Show.
All right, let's find out where we still are being heard daily. That would be Sacramento.
All right.
KHTK.
Hi.
And Buffalo. 92.9 WBUF. Mad City. Madison, Wisconsin, 100X, and in Dallas, Live 105. Mention Dallas now.
Yeah.
Because even though our show's on in the middle of the night in Dallas, this guy, Mark Cuban, crazy guy.
Yeah.
He's nuts.
He's like a big fan of the show.
Yeah, and we're delighted to have him rooting for us.
You know, we've had him on the show a bunch of times.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things in the email conversations was, would you guys like to be the official national radio show of the Dallas Mavericks?
Sure.
I said, sure. Now, I like basketball almost as much as I like football.
Right.
I'll tell you that, and Buzz, stand by. Last night, the Dallas Mavericks went to 2-0.
All right.
Beat New Orleans. Got a great team in Dallas this year. You got Nowitzki. He's back. Michael Finley's back. Jerry Stackhouse. They got rid of the white guy with the long hair. And Jason Terry, who last night had 19 points. He's on the telephone now. And Buzz?
Yeah.
We're not going to tell him that you don't know anything about basketball.
Oh, he'll figure it out pretty quickly.
What we'd like you to do instead is take the few moments that we have with Mr. Terry.
Yes.
And let's find out what he's really like.
Very good.
You know what I mean? You can bring out that in
interview him just like you'd interview somebody on one of your Washington Weekly shows.
And let me get the music ready for this.
Okay.
Welcome to NBA Shootaround. With your host, round ball fanatic, Buzz Burbank.
Yes, now from the top of the key, here's Buzz.
Today, Buzz, your guest is Jason Terry of the Dallas Mavericks.
And welcome to the show, Jason. Congratulations. Congratulations on your 19 points last night against the Jazz.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to be on with you.
Welcome to the show.
Go ahead.
Hey, listen, the first thing I want to ask you, Jason, I want to try to find out a little bit about you today. And,
not the New Orleans Jazz, Buzz.
No?
I'm sorry to break it.
They moved?
Yeah, it's Salt Lake City still the Jazz. Never mind, though.
New Orleans, congratulations against New Orleans last night.
Thank you.
Anyway, Jason, my purpose here anyway is to find out more about you. And let us know a little bit about how you spend your time off the court. What do you like to do in your spare time?
Well, three beautiful little girls, so I like to spend a lot of time with them.
Three daughters?
Yes, three little ones.
Congratulations on that. How old are they?
3 months, 3 years old, and seven. So.
Wow, you've been been keeping busy. It sounds like it. And what do you like to do with your daughters? What do you do to entertain them, to make them laugh?
We go to Dave and Buster's a lot. Play a lot of games.
Right, they like that?
Yeah. Now my 7-year-old's into reading, so we read a lot of books at night. And then I got my 3-year-old. She thinks she can do whatever the 7-year-old does, so she's trying to read books to me also.
Oh, that's always good too. Well, reading is so important. What kinds of things does a 7-year-old like to read or have read to them?
Oh, anything by Dr. Seuss is pretty much entertaining for her. She can pronounce all the words, so it's good.
Why don't we move into basketball? Why don't you, again, I don't want to direct you here. Why did you ask Jason what he thinks about the Mavs' chance this season?
Jason, how do you feel about the Mavs' chance this season?
Well, I feel the Mavericks legitimately have a chance to win a championship, and that's solely on because we have we're a deep team this year. We have depth at every position. 1 through 5, we're committed this year to playing defense, and we like to say D in the Big D. That's our motto.
I like that. And because you are deep this year, you're ready for any situation.
Yeah, we are. God willing, we'd have no injuries.
How's the basketball fan crowd in Dallas? You get a lot of support?
It's great, man. University of Arizona, where we got packed houses every night. Unfortunately, I was in Atlanta for 5 years, so anything more than 200 people is a sellout to me.
That's my
has a great fanfare, and it's always nice to play in front of all the fans.
So that's a move up for you. And how do you like working for Mark Cuban?
Oh, that's a joy. This guy is at practice shooting jumpers with us on the bench in the huddles.
He's kind of a loose guy, and that makes for a good vibe in the organization, right?
Oh, it's an excellent vibe.
What about his spooky eyes?
I don't know. You kind of don't want to look into his eyes too much.
Yeah, that's right. I think it's good advice.
Hey, Jason, now it's your turn to ask Buzz some questions. Ask Buzz how many. Serious, not a joke. Let's see if he knows. Buzz, how many guys on a basketball team?
I'm gonna say 9, Don.
Wow.
Okay. Jason, he's not kidding. Buzz, do you have any idea the difference between zone and man-to-man?
No, but the second one sounds naughty.
I got a trick question for you, Buzz.
Yes, Jason.
How many points do you get for a 3-point shot?
Yeah. Let me think about that and get back to you, Jason.
There you go. Jason, very seriously, your crazy owner is on our show all the time.
We love talking to Mark Cuban. We have him on the show a lot.
We're going to have a lot of you guys on. You're 2-0. You're kicking ass. And, just keep doing it.
It's got to be, Jason, this is Mike. I really wanted to ask you this. It's got to be great coming to an organization where you do have an owner like Mark Cuban who is so totally into the team. That's got to be, is that different from anything you've ever experienced?
Oh, it's definitely different. And it's big. The players see it. The fans definitely see it. So there's no question that we go out there and put 100% for him.
And, Buzz, I'm sure everybody in the NBA has one major question that they'll ask anybody in the NBA. It's a softball. What is it? The biggest. You have no idea what I'm talking about.
No, do I don't. I don't have a clue.
You'd have to ask Jason Terry who he lines up with, Shaq or Kobe.
Oh, okay. Who do you line up with, Shaq or Kobe?
Oh, Shaq, no question.
Yeah. It's a good move, Jason.
There you go.
Yeah, that's from Buzz Burbank, who knows nothing about basketball.
No. Why is that a good move, Buzz?
I think Kobe is trouble.
Way to go, Buzz. Way to fake it.
Hey, dude, it's been nice having you on our show, Jason.
Jason, have a great season, man.
Not a problem, anytime.
All right, we'll see you.
A nice man.
Bye-bye. One by one, we'll work our way through the starting five with the Dallas Mavericks.
I love this guy, Buzz Burbank. That's quality. So now, what the hell is the name of the New Orleans basketball team these days?
I don't even know that.
I mean, do you not agree? It should always have been the New Orleans Jazz.
Yeah, they don't have jazz in Utah.
It's the Bullets.
No, Charlotte is the Bobcats.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I know what it is. It's the Hornets, because they used to be in Charlotte.
Oh, so the Charlotte Hornets moved to New Orleans?
New Orleans Hornets?
2 years ago.
Oh, that's just dumb.
And now Charlotte has a team that's the Bobcats. Well, what's really dumb is that, you're right, that it's still in Salt Lake.
Right, and the Jazz are in Utah.
Why are the Utah Jazz?
Because they moved and didn't change the name.
Yeah, that's silly. Yeah,
it's like, why is it the Arizona Cardinals? There's no Cardinals in Arizona.
No.
Can't everybody just get along?
Anyway, nice job with that, Buzz. We will work our way up the food chain here.
Good. I've stolen a permanent question that I will ask all athletes. From this point forward, I will ask this question of athletes on the show. Do you have a big fan crowd? That will be my question.
No, I said, how's the fan crowd?
How's the fan crowd?
As a crowd, how are the fans?
Well, it was fan crowd.
I make things up as I go along.
Well, I'm stealing it from you.
Then we get Jerry Stackhouse, who's troubled, and Michael Finley, who's great. Then we get Dirk Nowitzki, the big, gigantic guy that I believe speaks English, but is like from Ukraine.
I'm looking forward to.
Right. Anyway, Buzz, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
And
thank you.
Well done. Let me see. The erections are over. Buzz,
yes.
Pleased to be going to...
Ended yesterday, Rob.
MichaelMoore.com.
Oh, this can't be happy.
Now, a lot of people are wondering what Michael Moore is up to now that, you know, Bush won.
Understand, when he's depressed, he eats.
Well, he's pissed. And if you go to MichaelMoore.com...
Yes, I see it. I heard about this.
You will see a photo. Now, Mike, take a real quick look at this photo on MichaelMoore.com. You see that?
Yeah.
That's a picture of Bush.
Uh-huh.
That's a picture of Bush that is made using pictures of some of the 1,124 United States soldiers that have been killed in Iraq. They've taken each individual picture of a dead person and morphed it into a picture of George Bush. And... what does it say? It says, Buzz, on the bottom there, it says, we're not going, it has like click
We're not
here.
Going away, join our mailing list, and then there is a place to click, and so take you to Michael Moore's mailing list.
That's what Michael Moore's doing.
You know, I don't know how I feel. I mean, I don't know how I feel.
He should shut up. He should just go count his money and shut up.
I know. I mean, I just, I don't know. I feel mixed emotions. I feel totally mixed emotions when I look at that, when I see that. You know, I think yesterday, I'm trying to think, the victory speech yesterday when he was at the Reagan building, did he mention the troops at all? And I don't know whether he did. I mean, I really do believe that with all the victory celebrations that maybe we are forgetting those guys. Did he say something about the troops?
No, he did because I gave him both. Excuse me. I'm sick.
Right.
A chime and... A ding.
Uh-huh.
I mean, but he didn't speak about the troops.
But you know, it's not for Bush. It's for the entire country. I now that this election's over, I think we get together. But also, I don't think we forget that's happening every
can't forget
Mike,
the issue.
Mike,
day.
I agree. I don't want to get heavy on this. Topic.
I don't want to get heavy. Either.
None of us do. Let me just. It's my opinion. Uh-huh. Michael Moore, just shut up. Mm-hmm. You know, I was all for you. Now, just shut up.
Portrait will be bigger next year.
He made the pile of money. Puff Daddy, of all people, issues a press release after the election.
Well, now, Puff Daddy was very into the Get Out the Vote campaign.
Right. That's right. Let me see. What does it say? Quote, and I love the fact that we're quoting him on the election now. Sean Combs, voting gave me butterflies. My vote counted. A lady came to me and said it was her first time, and that's because she heard vote or die.
Mm-hmm.
She thought. It was literal.
All right. Well,
that's good. You know,
it works. Look at those pictures. Maybe she's right.
Okay, that's it. That's it for the election. That's all I want to talk about the election today.
Very good.
I do want to say happy birthday to one of Buzz's peers in the business.
Who is celebrating a birthday today?
Walt Cronkite.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Buzz, remember when you came up as cub reporters together?
Walt helped me out so much.
Now, Mike, I'm glad that you brought that up. I did a little research on Walter Cronkite.
Walter Cronkite.
He's 88 today.
God bless him.
How old is that? Well, that is so old. Walter Cronkite attended both the Republican and Democratic conventions in 1928.
Wow.
When he attended the World's Fair in 1933, he was amazed at an exhibit for a fantastic idea many years in the future, something called television.
Yeah!
He reported on the Nuremberg trials.
Mm-hmm, yep.
And when he was at CBS, he did the news show, and
He doesn't expect to die anytime soon. His mom lived to 101.
Wow.
So Walter Cronkite is 88. And Buzz,
yes.
I was just curious, back in the early days, when he was back at the World Fair in 1933,
there,
when he was covering the conventions in the 20s, what was it like? Because you're just, now, I always get this wrong. He was just a little older or younger than Walter Cronkite.
No, no, what it is Buzz was his babysitter.
Buzz, do you think that Walter's career would have, you know, mirrored yours a little bit more if you hadn't raved out so much in that radio broadcast when the Hindenburg was docking?
I think that was my undoing at that point. Mm-hmm. I think I was with him at the World's Fair and at Nuremberg, and all I remember really about either of those events, it was cold. It was just so damn cold.
That's all Buzz's memory ever is.
Seems to be cold wherever he goes.
Even with the exploding hydrogen rigid airship, it was still freezing.
There was a moment of warmth from that, but really, after that it was cold again.
You know what else it was cold? About 15 minutes ago when you first started talking. Jason Terry from the Dallas Maverick.
It's freezing in here.
Oh, this is such bad timing for Lorne Michaels, because the thing was just on 60 Minutes, and we all saw it. And the thing I think none of us will forget, and it was actually one of our callers that brought it up, was the Mike Myers, Dr. Evil, Lorne Michaels thing.
Oh, it was great.
You know, what was the exactly? Was it really?
Right.
And the pinky on the mouth. That's Lorne Michaels.
So Lorne Michaels has now announced that he's got a new gig with NBC.
Oh.
Now get this. It's a reality show. Oh. You're going to love this, Mike.
What is it?
And now we're talking in our network programming voices.
Yes. Yes, of course.
It's the network bonanza. What if we got Lorne Michaels, who's photogenic, and we put him in an apprentice-like setup? And I know people would think we'd be screwing with the holiest institution of late-night comedy, but what if it was a contest where somebody actually wins a job on Saturday Night Live, and they perform every week in front of Lorne Michaels, and he's at a boardroom, and he sits there and he says, "You're not funny." And then the person out of the 16 that's funny actually gets to be on Saturday Night Live. That's what they're doing.
Oh, I'm sick to my stomach.
That's what they're doing.
Oh, God.
And they think that Lorne Michaels has the chance to be as popular as Donald Trump.
Oh, wonderful.
Because...
yes, bring them all on. Yes, let's see public humiliation once again. Yes,
that's what we need.
The formula continues.
That's what we need. Listen, I just want to...
why not go through the regular process and just make Saturday Night Live funnier?
It will sound queer to say this now, but I will say this. Back in 1978, and I was playing records back then, a top 40 disc jockey, I couldn't say what I really thought. What I wanted to say in 1978 was, hey, listen, I don't hate disco, but here's the deal. If you keep cramming it down our throats, eventually we as people are going to regurgitate it back on you.
Oh, that's a year away. Right. I think
that's what I'm saying. With reality TV,
sooner than later.
I'm giving you the warning right
I'm
now.
I'm burned on it already, and I think most of America will be burned on it. You know, there are only so many. I find Survivor every time I watch it to be less and less interesting, and it's just I think it's got a shelf life
because it's the original one.
I like it, but that's the only one I watch. I'm hard pressed to watch a lot of them.
Well, I'm looking forward to American Idol, but I think
I think
different. No.
I really do believe, as far as reality shows, don't you think American Idol will survive that a little bit more? Because American Idol is not as much a reality show as it's an old idea,
talent show.
And it's going to burn out again because there's nothing new. Hey, have you listened to the show today? there's nothing new. Anyway, just mark my words. And the song, incidentally, the back in 1978, just absolutely crystallized it for me, was the Donna Summer song that sounds like a million crickets with their legs going in there. With I remember the guy from the record company coming in and saying, "Listen, it's a smash." And I said, "You know, it is a smash. I agree. We'll start playing it today." However, I'm telling you, we're going over the top with this now. I mean, it's like this, then it's boogie, oogie, oogie, yeah. Then it's, oh, freak out. And
those were the days.
Same thing is going to be happening now. Mike, Tommy Lee has a book out.
Tommy Lee!
Tommy Lee is not only in the news now because he has a book out.
Right.
He also is doing a reality show where he goes back to college. And
that's great.
Jesus! Remember what I just said about disco?
Yeah.
God, another one?
However, I'll just tell you about his book. His book is called Tommyland. And the book is full of dirty stuff that he did with Pam and with all the other girls. With Heather Locklear?
Yeah.
That was another.
Heather Locklear before Pam Anderson.
It's got a lot of good dirty stuff in it.
And one chapter is written by his member.
Yeah. So.
Oh, really?
So, you know, yeah, not really.
The guy who drove the boat.
Yeah.
Although, you know,
if he can drive a boat, he can write a book.
God knows. Look at him, Nicky. Good. Here's, though, what you're going to love. Tommy Lee, his new book. Do you know that he, like Pedro Martinez, has a thing for midgets?
He's got a little person that follows him around.
I'm going to quote you now from his brand new book, Tommy Land. Like, dude, if I see one, I ran up to him and I'm like, hey, midget. How's it going? To be honest with you, I want to take all the midgets home with me. I know I can't do that. For some reason, I try. They just remind me of fun and the circus. I don't know what it is, dude.
It's because he's high.
Pam threw me a party a couple years ago, and she had this whole bizarre world. Cirque du Soleil performed, and we played midget football, and there were contortionists and swings, fire, pianos. And drums.
Ah, yes.
And fire trucks.
And then we all went to sleep, you know, in our own regurgitation.
Oh, and also from his new book, he reveals that one of the ways that he went through money like crazy when he was with Motley Crue was that virtually every night after a concert, he would offer crew members $100 each to eat pieces of his Coke-encrusted snot.
Oh.
So every night after they get done with the show, he'd pick his nose and get a piece of snot that was full of Coke and put it on the table and say, who wants $100?
Hey, I wonder why he got that hepatitis.
They liked it so much they started doing it and they didn't take the money. Okay.
Wow.
Oh, I guess
that was a Motley Crue, wasn't it?
They wanted to get high. Oh, and I got time for a feel good. Okay. This feel good is from Taiwan. Now, at the Taipei Zoo in Taiwan.
Hello.
And I even have a picture here if I can find this to go along with. Okay, here's the story, Mike. Everybody loves a good feel-good, right? Yeah. I'll tell you, this one's really not a classic feel-good because the guy does not die.
Okay.
So, by my standards, not a feel-good.
You usually like fatalities with the feel-good.
There's a guy who's at the zoo, and he's at the lion's den.
Yeah.
He jumps over the fence.
Not good.
Jumps into the lion's den. Why? He wants to convert the lions to Christianity.
Oh, sure.
First, he shouts at them, Jesus will save you.
Doesn't he know who they threw the Christians to?
Then he yells, come bite me. I dare you to come bite me. I am here to save you. Hey, lion, come bite me. One lion did. Bit his leg clean off.
Oh, dear.
Zoo workers shot the lion with a trank dart. They got the guy out. Mike,
he got his wish.
Here's a picture from ABC News of the guy running in right before the lion. And please be checking out the picture of the lion's mouth. The lion is wide open and ready to chomp out. The guy jumps in a freaking lion's den at a zoo and starts screaming, go ahead, bite me.
That lion is just about to chomp on the guy.
It is.
Oh, hey, be careful with that. That's the most powerful trank gun on the market. Huh. Got her in Mexico. Cool. Yeah, it is cool.
That's too great. That's too great a story. The guy wants to convert the lion to Christianity.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. Gotta break. You want to see the picture? It's up on abcnews.com.
It's an amazing photograph.
And this morning they had some video, which they've now taken down because it was pretty graphic.
Oh, man.
Wait, it's great, though. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
J-Lo's new song, Jenny from the Block, all about Lopez roots, about how she's still a neighborhood gal at heart. But folks from that street in New York, the Bronx section, sound more likely to give her a curb job than a blow or block party. The New York Post, well, sorry about that slip up there. I have no idea how that happened, but it won't happen again.
Uh-huh.
And that's your news.
The Don and Mike Show.
Thanks, Shepard.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Bob, could I have a glass of tequila, please?
With furs by Dicker and Dicker of Beverly Hills, this is the Don and Mike Show.
Let me tell you, we'll take some phone calls here in a moment. So you can call now for a phone scan at 877-365-3636. No, it's kind of last second at all.
That's all right.
That's how these busy shows are. Call now, line up for a phone scan. We're going to talk to Nancy O'Dell from Access Hollywood. Hello, baby. Nancy?
Hi, guys. How have you been?
How have you been, Nancy?
I have been well. How have you been?
I know that we're going to talk about what's on Access Hollywood tonight, but first, if we could turn the Access Hollywood music off and play the tape of you being interviewed on CNBC. What show were you on CNBC? The Donnie, what's the guy's name?
Donnie Deutsch.
Donnie Deutsch. Here
Donnie he, Deutsch.
Here he
yes,
is.
The show is A Big Idea.
The Big Idea.
Here's
A Big Idea.
Here's Nancy talking, and listen to this, talking about, I'm guessing, the man in her life.
Here we go.
The most important thing, the most attractive quality about him is that he is probably one of the sweetest, kindest, most beautiful people that I've ever met.
How'd you meet him?
Met him in the airport.
Airport.
Traveling everywhere.
Great place. Guys, for all you single folks out there, just start roaming around the terminals. You'll find them. Nancy, you're the best. Continue
to
keep
so good to see
great
you.
To see you.
Thanks for having me.
We got more big idea. Remember, terminals anywhere, it's the way to go. We got more big idea. Don't go anywhere.
More big idea. All right, I think it's safe to say Nancy was speaking about you, Don. I think that's
had to be.
And she was isn't that right, Nancy?
You're not supposed to give it away.
Yeah, sorry about that.
This is my secret.
Anytime anybody asks about either one of us, Nancy O'Dell, what's it like working with Mike O'Mara?
The most important thing, the most attractive quality about him is that he is probably one of the sweetest, kindest, most beautiful people that I've ever met.
Thank you. Nancy, thank you so much for the kind words. Thank you so much for the kind words.
All right.
Oh, you are so welcome. You know, I meant every word.
And you should know, we're always watching. Our TiVo is always on for Nancy O'Dell. So.
Absolutely.
I'm just amazed. You guys found me at the right time.
You can't sneak around on TV and not let us know about it.
Obviously.
I got the list. There's two things I want to ask you about on tonight's Access Hollywood. First, Zitney Spears.
Again?
What is the story with her and the demon seed, the baby?
Oh, she's having a kid.
You know, we had to get to the bottom line of everything because it had been rumored that Britney was actually pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
But we talked with Shar Jackson. We were interviewing her about something else, which is, you know, Britney's husband's ex.
And that's a strange relationship.
She was actually the one who was quoted in page 6 that she said Britney was pregnant. So she makes it very clear that she's very tired of people saying things that she did not say. And she says that as far as she knows, Britney is not pregnant. She never said that.
That relationship
that
relationship that she has with Britney and Kevin Federline, it's close now, right? They all kind of get along. Is that right?
I think they get along, although she made it really, really clear that she's really tired of being asked about Britney and Kevin.
Okay, all right.
She says that her only association to them is her children with Kevin. But, yeah, they do, you know, they have a working relationship, which I guess is great for the children,
mm-hmm.
because you wouldn't want Shar and Kevin not to have a good relationship because the kids are going to have to be with both of them.
Right.
And one more thing on tonight's Access Hollywood. This is like, really, you can't write it as funny. Tell everybody who ABC is in talks with for a sitcom.
Elton John.
I like it. Man, I'm on board already.
Is that great or what?
How great is that going to be? You're going to see some of it tonight on Access Hollywood. But he's going to be starring as an aging rock and roll star.
God.
So he says that it's loosely based on his own life and some other male divas of rock, which include Jagger and Bowie.
You've interviewed Elton John, haven't you, Nancy?
I love him.
But
he does not hold back anything he wants to say. That's the great thing about him. He's always a good soundbite.
Then let me ask you this, because based on just what I've seen of Elton John, read about him, do you think his temperament will handle the daily grind of a sitcom?
I don't know if it will. It'd be better if it were a reality show, wouldn't it?
It's a little bit funny.
You know, I'm sure they're going to give him carte blanche. You know, what do you want?
Well, I got
Elton John on a sitcom. It's huge. And then tonight we've also got Star Wars on our show. So all Star Wars fans out there, we have got the only preview.
All right, that's tonight. I don't know if you call it Buzz's joke. It's a little bit funny. I get jokes.
I remember you on
there. Yeah, there you go.
Nancy, where are you now, incidentally, before we let you go?
I'm finally back in New York after having been in Boston.
Gotcha. So
it's like a FedEx package. They just ship me around wherever they want.
All right. Please be watching tonight here in D.C. on NBC4 at 7:30. Around the country, check your local listings for Access Hollywood with Nancy O'Dell and Billy Bush. Nancy, we will talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, until then. I hope you have been well.
Don't forget, we're always watching you on TV.
I won't forget. I feel Big Brother right now.
Bye-bye. All right. Bye, baby.
Bye.
See, I don't even...
You know, all right, you're going to make me laugh if you figure out a different way to do it every day. That's my challenge.
You mean calling her baby only, or sweetheart or honey?
I'm challenging you only for 4 shows.
Take
it. So if you can do it through Wednesday of next week, it will amuse me greatly. I will actually look forward to this segment more than I already do, and I already do a lot.
I know it's the thing you like the best when I throw in just the obligatory, then, all right, thank you, baby.
It's gone from honey to baby. What will it be tomorrow?
Thank you, sweetie. Yes, calls here. Thank you, Nancy O'Dell. Phone scan, 877-365-3636. What do you think of this kid? Yeah, we're doing the calls right now.
Yeah. All right.
Talk to her for 5 minutes. Talk to you for what seems like an hour. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, was listening to Uncle Buzzy's news rant yesterday, and just have to say, Buzz, you were speaking for all of us.
Oh, thank you. Well, I think there are 3 million or so that he's probably not speaking of.
Yeah, but, well, I guess speaking for 48% of us anyhow, and I wondered if there was a place I could get a transcript of that or a tape or something, because I was trying to recreate it for my friend.
Yes.
To spread how we feel.
$1,000.
Phrase it the same way Buzz did.
Listen, let me give you the website. Do you have a pencil?
Yes, I do.
All right, it's www.
Yes.
Dot. S-E-A. S-E-A. Yes. One word. S-E-A.
F-C-A?
No. S as in stupid. S-C-A.
Oh, okay. Yes.
T-L-O-V.
Yes.
E-R-S dot com.
Yes.
Can you read that back to us?
I'll be dialing it indirectly.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Somehow seemed less than satisfied. And yesterday, Buzz got it all out of his system. And for those of us that were on that side, it was fun to listen to.
Sure was. Oh, and, with Buzz's news and everything, I should remember to tell you that I didn't remember to tell you that DonnaMikeWebsite.com will be up very soon. And one of the things it will have is an updated show log every day that includes the stories that Buzz had on the news.
Very good.
And our idiotic comments.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Don and Mike show. I've seen like the test run of this. It's like a transcript of the show.
It won't be checked for spelling, will it?
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
I just wanted to say I could not believe Alan Thicke was that interesting.
Yeah. Hey, you know, I will tell throw a compliment out here. I think Alan Thicke was interesting because Rob Spiewak made him interesting with all that trivia. And then Alan Thicke, you know, I think in circumstances like that, the person that has that TV history, they either play along or they don't. Alan Thicke went beyond playing along. He loved every minute of it, and that's why that was fun.
Darling,
it rocked. That's all.
Darling, you're so correct, and who am I to dispute you? Let me just say, with the talented people that are surrounding me on this show, we could interview a piece of dog poo. And we
did that once, didn't we?
I think we did it a couple of hours
ago. Hey, I stand by that interview.
Didn't we have Todd Hughes on the show 2 hours ago?
Yeah, you know what? If you can interview management from the radio station and make that fun, you can do anybody.
On a speakerphone. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don, Mike, I got a question for you, Mike, about your restaurant.
Yes, sir.
Look around.
Oh, my God. Hey, send it over to Buzz. Send it over to Buzzy.
Not working,
hang
up
with that guy.
No,
there.
Not.
Phone scan, Don and Mike show. Hello. Hello there.
Don and Mike.
Yeah, going, going, gone. You're on the air. Hello.
I was wondering if you saw the new South Park.
Saw any what? Come again?
The new South Park.
It was all with all about Walmart.
The new South. No, you know,
I was actually out last night. I didn't get to see it. I was out buying a new cell phone to sound better than you.
I'm not really into the South Park. I like those guys, yeah. And I still think Team America is maybe the funniest movie I've seen all year.
I don't like the animation in South Park, but I love
very
the dialogue.
Complex. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike. I'm wondering if you and Mike are going to have to split up since Virginia banned gay marriage.
You mean as far as like to move up our timetable?
No, you guys are going to have to split up from each other. Are you going to get separate shows?
Well, no, we're not going to split up from each other. I just won't get Don's benefits.
Just because they can't be legally married doesn't mean they can't still be close.
And Don and I have already made arrangements.
We have our arrangements.
Various family members to receive our assets in the case of one of us perishing.
Okay, I just want to let you guys know I was concerned.
I appreciate that. You know, I know so many Americans are.
Thank you.
We'll continue the good fight.
Those of us that are living the dual lives, living the lie, we thank you, sir.
Well, don't forget to vote.
Good day to you, sir.
All right, bye.
We just raised our fists in the air.
Yeah. Hello. Don and Mike.
Right on.
Hello, Domingo. Yes.
Hello, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, Domingo.
Yes, hello.
How have you been?
Hey, sir, the position's been taken.
Hello there, Don and Mike show. Hello. It's a new line, it's a new call, it's a new chance for a new start.
It's a whole new day.
You're on the air.
Good day, sir.
Yes, hi.
Hi, I was wondering if you have any downloads on the Don and Mike website.
Yes, we will, as a matter of fact. Every single day there will be a 30-minute highlight that you can download. And it'll have previous shows highlights you can download as well.
How about getting a copy of Julia?
How about getting a copy of, you mean Rob's daughter?
No, hello.
Oh, the hello
face. Oh,
face.
The hello.
Ooh, what a relief.
I thought we had the had to push the pedophile button.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, the hello.
Yeah. No, he wants a copy of the hello so he can make his own Don and Mike show in his basement. Thanks for calling, Rupert.
Hey, Don and Mike, how you doing?
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, I want to just say how you doing, and thanks for the Alan Thick price pack.
I don't know.
I was one of the 100th callers, and I got the prize.
See, we were. Okay. Maybe it's because you sounded like Bill Murray from Caddyshack.
Or Brian
Wilson.
Well,
that's who I am.
You mean you really, whenever he was plugging, you really called?
Are they really called. They're flying you out to Vegas?
You're going to send me the information in the mail.
Something tells me, and I would hate
it. He didn't mention airfare, did he?
I was going to say, it was probably a less than...
All I know is that...
Reputable. Well, not reputable, not the right word.
Yeah, well, my daughter's are getting married in January 1st of this year.
Did you have to give a credit card? Did you have to give a credit card number?
No, actually, I didn't. Just my name and phone number, and they already had everything... I guess off the computer.
Sir, what did they tell you you were going to get? Just out of curiosity.
What's in the prize pack?
It was a three-night stay in Vegas.
Airfare?
I believe the airfare was included. I'm not really sure because I didn't get to talk to anyone because there were so many online.
They're going to have to call you back.
They're going to call me within 24 hours. Exactly.
I know you're joking about it, but seriously, if you wanted to run a game like that, you know how much money you'd make? I mean, because listen to this guy. And he said it was going to be the best day of my life.
Everyone just keep calling because they've already given away 4 of these 100 prize packs.
You know what that's like? That's like, and I know that people get sucked into it when you're watching one of the infomercials for a product that you would never buy. And, you know, and the price is outrageous. Like, the big, gigantic arm, the collapsing arm that has a brush on the end so that, like, you could get... The blinds that are 8 feet
right,
in the
right,
air,
yes.
They say, how much would you pay for this amazing prize? Mm-hmm. You know, would you pay $19.99? It's only $9.99. But if you're one of the first 100 callers in the next 5 minutes, mm-hmm. you will get 4 of these super blind sweepers
right.
for half the price that we told you a half an hour ago.
And the money-back guarantee.
I've tested that.
But if you ever want to know how that game works, in the event that you send away for this, you pay for that extra shipping. They make money whether you send it back or not.
Of course.
Of course they
do. And then the scam is that commercial runs all over the country. So, hello, you could call it anytime.
And it's
within the 15 minutes. But
there is anywhere. You know that I have been saying for years, please don't get sucked in by silly infomercials that sell terrible merchandise.
Even the whole house antenna?
You know what I got stuck on last night? And I'm really ashamed of this. I think it was QVC.
The Jetstream oven?
No. It was...
Had it.
I know, Dave Dornbush.
It was
NFL. And the food saver.
It was NFL shop. And it's all the crap that even I don't like. Like the awful gaudy towels. You know what I mean?
You wouldn't shower. You wouldn't towel off with a Packer towel?
I got news for you. The Packer towel that my brother gave me for Christmas.
And it's not already.
And it's not a towel.
God, he has of one already.
It's not a towel. It's more like a throw rug. And it's made out of the same material that like velvet paintings of Elvis are made out of.
Oh, okay. That's not a real towel.
It's
no.
One of those things that you just want to puke on it.
That's why you need the Packer bath set.
All I know is, point A being, my brother's already given me the area throw rug blanket thing, and I use it with my dogs. Uh-huh. But I was watching this on QVC, and it's all junk, and I'll never buy it, but I could not tear myself away from it.
Just because it's merchandise you care about.
And yeah.
Alan Thicke wrote the theme for the NFL shop.
What, the QVC?
Yeah.
You know what's great is if you're drinking and watching QVC, call in and try to get on the air to say how great the product is.
Have you ever succeeded?
I've never gotten through. I've gotten to the third tier, but someday.
Hello.
I love it!
Don and Mike show. And QVC is one retarded channel, man. I mean, I don't spend enough time with it to really go in depth, but... They've got all this stuff where I was watching with this NFL and saying, now don't forget, if you're a satisfied customer, you've already bought this, call on this line to tell us how great this is.
Don't you have to, join up to participate? It's not like you can simply call in, right? I mean, don't you have to go through a pretty elaborate process?
I think so.
You know, to buy it, you just have to give your credit card number, but then you're on file.
Then you're in.
Hello, Donald Mike. Hello. Phone scan.
Quality, value, and whatever season.
Hello.
Crap.
Quality, value, and crap.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
QVC. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, fellas, what's up, man?
Hey, hi, you're on the air.
All right. I just called to see when you guys are going to officially start the Bush ass-kissing campaign now that he's got four more years over your head.
I don't think that's ever going to happen, sir. But
what, the Bush ass-kissing? Here's the extent of the ass-kissing, and I think I know Mike feels the same as me. He's the president, and that means even if we think he's a dope, he's the president. That's the great thing about America.
Yeah, I mean, you really do, it's not a question of giving up. You still, deal with your own politics, and you have your own thoughts and your own values, and hopefully your guy gets elected the next time. But right now, I mean, that's what, I love it. I dig that about this country, that at the end of the day, we're divided, yeah, but we do get behind the president. You got to do that. We don't have any choice.
If I could also just mention to everybody, I know that it's going to be a pain in the ass to get the stickers off your cars.
No, but how do I do that?
But really... Really, what you need to do is get the signs out of your yard now, because now the signs are in the yard just reminding people...
They're bumming me out.
Either that their guy lost or their guy won. Mm-hmm. And I know the Kerry people are keeping the signs in their yard because they're saying, hey, it's like your team lost the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. but you still want everyone to know you're a fan of the team.
No. And the Kerry people are leaving the signs in their yard because they're still in bed.
And on the other side, it's the team that won the Super Bowl, and they just want to shove it down your throat.
That's right.
So listen, just take the signs out of the yard.
Everybody. I mean, my bumper sticker that I've had on my car for a long time, I thought it might just, I'd get lucky and it might just peel off. But it's one of those deals where you walk over and you start to peel it, and it's going to be shredded. And I don't know how to get rid of it.
Mine actually just fell off.
No, did it really?
No, actually, it does peel off fairly easily.
I'll try it again.
I'll help you out.
I've only had one on my car the whole time I've owned my car. Nader is greater.
Absolutely.
Nobody wants that one.
And nobody can substitute my little fish.
Don and Mike show. Hello. Oh, you're Jesus fish.
Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi.
How you doing today?
We're doing great. Oh, and of course, you can see my car because I've got that that stencil that everybody has.
I love that.
And I have my rainbow sticker.
Everybody's got their individuality.
Hello? Are you still there?
Oh, that's no fun.
We lost that guy, whatever he was. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Sorry.
Hello?
Oh, dear, are we having some sort of meltdown with the phones again?
Let me try this one. Don and Mike show. Hello?
Sounds so lonely.
Something's wrong.
Oh, you know what? Who hit the delay?
The hell did he hit the delay for?
Who hit something?
And why?
Who's?
Oh, I know.
Why what?
Yeah, the number 24.
Yeah, description of what the sticker
Jeff
was.
Gordon. Right?
Oh, God, are you kidding me?
Apparently not.
That I can't say. Oh, does everybody know the sticker of the little...
it looks like Calvin from Calvin and
Hobbes. Yeah, the
bad cartoon
boy.
Guy who has his back to you.
Mm-hmm. And is showing disrespect.
Is that what it would be?
I'm guessing.
It would almost have to.
It'd have to be. Yeah. Showing disrespect to the number 24. That sticker, that decal. That's okay. The one you have in your
That's
car.
That's a good reason to have that delay. That's really good. Hello, yeah. Don and Mike show.
Oh, children were
Hello,
saved.
Hello, radio guys. How are you?
Hi there. I hope Bobby Bacala's happy with that. Hello.
Hello, how are you? I'm calling from Canada.
Right on. Nice talk to you.
How are you?
I'm doing okay. I want to tell you guys I've had a very bad week, but you guys have made it a lot better every time I listen to you guys.
How bad was your week? What went wrong?
Well, Mike, he's a Canadian.
Well, it started out on Saturday where I tried to kill a bee against the window and the window broke.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Then I tried to kill a bee with a towel, and this towel snapped and broke the window.
Okay.
All right.
Then Saturday night, I got in a car accident.
Oh, dear.
The whole car got totaled.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
But you're okay?
Yes.
Was it a Canadian car?
Yes, it was a Canadian car.
Hold on. What's the name of a Canadian car?
It's a Chevy.
It's a Chevy?
Oh, no, that's an American car.
Okay, so it's an American car. I bought it from Canada, though.
Right. Okay. I guess my question was...
You were cheating there.
My question is, and was, and still is, are there any Canadian-produced cars...
Why is that making
Not
me
that
laugh?
Not that I know of.
Yeah. Why is that spontaneously making me laugh?
Because I'm thinking it's
of a,
funny.
A Canadian car made completely out of maple.
It's like the Adobe.
Yes.
Hey.
It's like that Saturday Night Live Adobe.
Oh, the Adobe.
Yes, that's right.
All right, so you're driving an American car. You got... I'm sorry, I'm fighting.
You did the beat. You did the beat thing, and then you had a wreck. And you got in a wreck. You totaled your car. What else happened bad this week?
And then after coming back from the lawyers, because I'm fighting it, I'm fighting what?
The accident.
All right,
you're taking the person that hit you to
Excuse
the court.
Me.
Or are you suing the bee?
Is this anybody shirt? This Battle Royale WWE shirt?
What are you doing?
Are
you blowing your nose?
I got a cold that is just...
Hey, you know what I never understand? When one person gets sick at the radio station, why everybody else does?
Oh, we will.
I don't understand why that happens.
Boy, that popped my ears.
Great circulation.
That is great.
We should save that T-shirt and get it out to the fans.
We'll put it back in the prize closet.
That's good. All right.
Andy, are you okay?
Throw it away.
Should I put it back where I found it?
Well, in the interest of others.
I'd throw that away.
Throw it away. Okay, thank
you. And the other thing that happened was I got home after the lawyers and the hot water tank blew in the basement and we have a huge flood in the basement.
Oh, my. That is a bad... I'm going to applaud him because he really... It wasn't a bad week. It was a good bad week.
But he's from Canada, though.
As winter approaches, won't your basement freeze and then you can skate?
Yeah, we could play our national sport, hockey.
Good for you.
Well,
hello
that.
There. Thanks for the call. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Play our national sport.
Hello, you're on the air. Hello. Don and Mike show, you are on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
I thought somebody hit the delay because we said national sport.
You're on the air.
Hey, I missed yesterday, but I was wondering if you guys discussed Dan Rather at all.
Dan Rather, Don mentioned his shaking hands.
Yes, we did.
And I will have a list of some Ratherisms in the upcoming Buzzcast.
Oh, okay.
Shame on you for missing the show yesterday. Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don, Mike.
Hi.
Buzz.
Hey.
I had a quick question for you, buddy. I was just wondering what kind of cologne you wear.
Mostly CK1.
For the reason I ask, every time it's popped, I get this aroma coming out of the speakers. All these ladies are like,
that's what this guy be heard. That's funny.
That's me.
What did he say?
What did you say, sir?
I said, every time the bus speaks, this aroma seeps out of my speakers, and all the ladies run into my cubicle.
Actually, a little something I whip up myself.
Okay. Thank you, my friend.
Yes.
Bud makes it himself. It's called DS1. You can get it with the cereal.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Don and Mike.
Yes, we are. Hi there.
Hey, Don, I wanted to tell you, you are my God. You know, everybody calls in and talks about Mike and everything, but Don, you say what you mean.
Right.
And you said...
Shut up. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Loves
Hello
you
there.
For that.
Hello.
Don?
Yes. Yes, we are. Hi.
Hi, this is one thing for Mike. On the bumper sticker,
yeah,
a hairdryer. Use a hairdryer.
All right.
Go right off.
All right, thank you.
Okay. Hello.
Thank you. I'm so happy to take it off my car.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Don and Mike, how's it going?
Okay.
Hey, I was wondering how you could do that out here in Sacramento.
Wait, slow down.
Right.
Start over, please.
First, let me tell you, welcome to the show. You're the last person on the phone scan.
Yeah, take a deep breath.
So you win a prize. You won the WWE Survivor Series prize pack. In-demand pay-per-view November 14th in your home. You're welcome. Sponsored by Comcast and Cox Cable. Now, what can we do for you?
I just wanted to know how you could do that to us out here in Sacramento.
What?
What did we do?
What went heartbreak?
When you made yourself the national radio show of the Dallas Mavericks.
Here would be the answer to that. You know those two crazy brothers that own the Sacramento Kings?
Oh, yeah, the Maloof.
We've only been on in Sacramento for 10 years with number one ratings. You know how many times those guys have ever contacted us?
Zero.
Let me count. Zero. Do you know how many times since the first time we had him on the show, and I'm not kidding, Crazy Mark Cuban has called us
right. And
called Beth Ann? I'm not exaggerating. 100 times.
Right.
The dude totally loves our show.
That's nice.
And really, why not? He wants to I didn't mean it like that,
good
but
taste.
He wants to put the Dallas Mavericks on a national platform.
Yeah, we're just, this is all cruising towards our eventual high-definition network television show.
And keep in mind, we're on at midnight in Dallas.
Yeah. Right.
We're on at freaking midnight.
You know, really, if we were ever to do TV again, it certainly shouldn't be high-definition TV.
It should be very dark.
It should be
very low-def.
Moody.
Don Mike presented
low-definition.
100 lines of resolution.
Presented in LD.
With you and me looking like Sybil Shepherd on the last episodes of Moonlighting.
Well, beyond that, it would look like Space Invaders.
No, yeah, I'm thinking or Star Trek when they used to, Star Trek was a big one. They would have I'm sick as hell. They had an old broad like Jane Wyman on.
Yeah.
And they would put the Vaseline around the edge.
Yeah, exactly. And they did the same thing to Sybil Shepherd.
So listen, have your guys call us, your Sacramento guys, and we'll be glad to support the Kings.
They'll never call.
What, the brothers?
No. Whoever's in Sacramento won't call because they're too happy complaining about the fact they're miserable. You lost again.
Well, listen, anyway. You want a prize?
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right, dude. You're welcome. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, so the negative energy is gone. He has nothing else.
That's right. Hello,
Sacramento. He's a Sacramentan.
Hello, 916.
You wanted to complain, and that's all you wanted to do. Right?
That's all I wanted to do.
That's all you wanted to do. Then you got a prize, but that kind of threw you for a loop, didn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Because it was something positive that you got out of the show, and you don't know how to handle it.
Bittersweet.
It always is in Sacramento.
But you like the bitter better than the sweet, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Hold on, please.
Hell yeah.
Hold on.
All right.
I'll send you a sugar-coated turd in the mail.
Send me the videotape of the next mass murder that happens in your town.
Hold on, please. When's the last time they had a mass murder in Sacramento?
That's what they always have murders around there. What time is it, Buzz?
We will be right back.
Is the Don and Mike Show.
Nancy, I'm helping Hank winch a trailer. I'll see you for dinner.
Sorry, Shug. I get to anchor eyewitness weather tonight. There's high winds blowing. Might be a tornado. This could be the disaster I've been waiting for. So keep your fingers crossed.
Well, what about my supper?
I left the carton of cigarettes on the table.
I think I'll keep her.
The Don and Mike Show. This you should not do. You should not call them Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Today is Thursday, tomorrow's Friday. That means it'll be Pick the Pros with Rich Eisen from the NFL Network. Watch Rich's show, NFL Total Access, every night at 7 and 10 on the NFL Network. This brought to us by Tower Records and Tower.com. No one has a bigger selection of the music and movies you love than Tower.com. Okay, now to the Friday favorite, which we now do on Thursdays.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, a guy called during a phone scan and started to say how great I am, and I shut him up.
Yes, you did.
I'll explain to you how the show works, what I'm proud of with the show, that when we get something, a lot of times the idea for something is mine. I'm with all these great, funny people who make it happen. Now, on Jeopardy, every week Mike and I talk about who the person's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Mike knows who he's going to be doing here, but doesn't necessarily know the best background of all. I've waited till now to tell him to get his honest reaction.
It'll be fun.
I'll tell you that We're going to be doing Larry Hagman.
Good.
Because Bush is too obvious.
Uh-huh.
Kerry's too obvious.
Uh-huh.
Larry Hagman's on for the Dallas reunion.
Right.
Mike Does the Killer, Larry Hagman.
Yes.
You know all the stuff, Mike, about Larry Hagman with the hat day.
Mm-hmm.
You know about the no talk day.
Yes.
Are you trying very hard not to get into character?
Oh, you want me to get into character?
Oh, no. Just listen to the story. Larry Hagman has told the world his final wishes in an interview this week with CBS for the Dallas reunion movie. Larry Hagman said when he dies, he wants his body stuffed into a wood chipper. Then he wants the chunks scattered into a field. Then, with the wheat from that field, when it's harvested,
make a cake.
You read my mind. He wants someone to bake a cake, and then he wants a party where his friends and family will come on the one-year anniversary of his dying and eat his cake. Now, let's see. A lot of people on Dallas say they're not going to do this. Patrick Duffy says he'll take a slice of the cake,
uh-huh.
but he'll
put it in the freezer.
He'll never eat. Put it in.
I think we're ready.
Put it in his freezer. So, having said that, you know, Larry Hagman's plenty crazy. But this is. Even better. Welcome now, the always crazy.
Yes, piece of cake, Ginny. How you doing? Just came by to see you today, everybody. How are you?
Hey, Larry.
Good to see you, Donnie. Hey, Robbie. Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Larry, you're great.
Hey, good to see you. Oh, Ginny, it's something special. I'm really excited about this, and we're excited about the reunion, too.
Now, remember when we used to do bits all the time about your liver that you always went back to that Genie thing because you were also...
I'm on liver number two.
I dream of Genie.
I got my second liver. I'm really excited about it. How you been, Donnie?
I've been fine.
We're excited about that reunion. We really are. It's going to be great, Genie. I'm just looking forward to it. Looking forward to seeing all the good people. I tell you, it's what a pleasure to see all the good people. Pat Duffy, my good friend. We got Vic Principale. She's looking great. And Dr. Bellows gave me a new liver in 1997. And
Oh, what's happened, Larry?
Sorry about that. Hold on just a second. Yeah, that's a piece of liver. I got to be honest with you. I've been hacking it up. Better part of 3 years.
And that's liver number two, right?
Yeah, just excuse me. Yeah, you want a piece of my liver?
No.
Put me in the chipper soon. That's why I talked about that. After the fact that, the way I can explain it to you, I'll walk you through the whole thing. Because I'm the author of that idea, and I'd just like to tell you what happens.
Please
what I'm going to do, I told this to people, Genie. I said, here's what you do. When I die, what I want you to do is take me down to the local farm, where I got my farm, and get yourself one of those big chippers. And then stick me in. If you have to hack me up a little bit, that's okay. Just go ahead, hack me up a little bit, and then put me a little bit at a time, then spread it out all over the field. Then I'd like you to plant wheat. Plant wheat in the field. In the springtime, the wheat's going to come up. It's going to come up. Then you're going to take the wheat, take it back to the farmhouse, grind up the wheat, grind it up real fine, real bad, make a nice batter out of it, and then put a batter in, put a cake together, make it a nice lemon cake, nice tasty lemon cake, so you won't get the flavor of me, and then have all my friends come over, and we have a big party, and they'll bring out the Larry cake, and I'll feed people, and they can actually eat me, and then, I can take it a step further, then the fact of the matter is that they'll go back to their various residences, and then late at night, you know what'll happen, and then I'll be recycled into the land.
Uh-huh.
That's nice. What I want, Genie. Are you going to be watching the Dallas reunion?
See, no,
who shot JR? Number one episode. Remember that?
People,
it was Kathy Crosby.
People would not have believed any of that.
Yeah.
If we hadn't said that as a true story, they would think.
It's a true story, Genie. It's a God's honest truth. I gotta be honest with you. I think it's a great idea. Don't you think it's a great idea? Oh, there you go. I remember those days. How are you, Genie? I'm Larry Hagman. All right. Hagman trivia. You know my mom will play Peter Pan on Broadway?
Oh, yeah.
Mary Martin.
Yeah,
that's Mommy. That's Mom-O. I said, Mom-O, you're flying crazy. Yeah, look at it. Fly back and forth. She had wires.
You want to be turned into a cake.
Yeah, but it's not going to be like a bloody salsa or anything like that. It's going to be kind of going back to the land. The way I like to think about it is that I'm recycling myself through my friends and through their byproducts, too. And I think everybody ought to do that. I said to somebody, what's this cremation stuff? You know, mm-hmm. I think when you die, as opposed to being frozen or burned up in something, you ought to just be made into a nice cake. nice lemon cake for your friends. Have them all eat it. And I told Vic Principal, I said, Vicky, what you want to do is you want to down that cake as fast as you can. Don't think about the fact that it's my body part. It's really not, because by that time, by the time the body gets minced up, puts it in the chipper, they go out to, in the chipper. They spread the bloody body parts all over the field.
Yes.
And then they grow the wheat. And the wheat, you know, comes out of the soil, and that's where the chunks of meal will be in the soil. And I just don't think there's even a small chance, even a slight chance, that you'd get any of me in the cake. There wouldn't be bloody parts of Larry in the cake, and who'd want that anyway? That wouldn't be good. You know, I'll tell you right now, it's I've done it with my whole family. My mama, Mary Martin, here's her fudge. This is fudge made out of her.
Yeah. That doesn't look good.
Watch out for my tibia, Jeannie. That's just a joke. That's just a joke. You'll notice that I'm wearing a hat and nothing else. It's hat day and naked day all together. Yes.
Wow.
I dream of Jeannie. I play that Barbara Eden. That's a Tomcat. That's Tomcat right there, that Barbara Eden. You know that, Jeannie?
Now, you do
Jeannie
have...
special. I like that. But I like Dallas, too. We had some Tomcats there. We had Charlie Tilton. We had Pat Duffy. He was a wild man. And also Vicky Principal. Oh, she's a great lady. Lovely lady. And, of course, then we get, what's her name?
Sue Ellen.
Yeah, Sue Ellen. I didn't care for her.
No.
She's nothing but trouble. Little old for the part. Said that one day she was in my kitchen for the rest of the series.
Now, true or false, Larry?
True or false? I'll do it. Then I'll say true.
You
got a question.
You had a thing with Barbara Bel Geddes.
Barbara Bel Geddes. I was the number one character. I got the most dialogue. If you look back at Dallas, I was the guy, Larry Hagman. They said, give him the dialogue, give him the star and show, do the biggest episode around him. And I said, the only way to get that, you got to go upstairs and see the Grand Dame. And I said, I'll take a drive up there. And so I drove up to where she was staying at a local hotel in Dallas. We were doing some location shooting. And I went up there and walked in, knocked on the door, and there she was. And she was an elderly woman, but she had worn the proper amount of lingerie that was able to cover some of her bad spots, the bruised apple parts of her. And what I did was, jumped in, closed my eyes, and just dove right in, just like if you're going swimming for the first time and you're worried about that water getting up your nose, you just squint your face up, hold your nose, and dive right in. That's exactly what I did.
Wow.
I tell you, I got a slice of Barbara Bel Geddes bread pudding right here, if you'd like that. This is good stuff. It's wonderful, and they're terrific. Yeah.
You know, it looks a little runny for a woman who's been gone for so many years.
It's been sitting in the car. I took it out of the fridge.
Oh,
that's what it is, Jeannie. But I brought a 10-gallon hat for you, 10-gallon hat for all your crew, and really excited to be on the show, and I hope you're going to watch the Dallas reunion.
So this whole thing with you eating...
Yes, Jeannie.
With you... oh, hold on there.
Ah. Yeah, you might remember this back way back when. It's called Idea for Jeannie.
Way back then, were you into eating people, turning them into food and eating them?
Oh, yes. I'm a cannibal.
I dream of Jeannie.
People don't realize that about me, that I've been a cannibal for most of my life. As a matter of fact, not anything where I'd really kill somebody and just chop them up to eat them, but as far as if they are dead and I've come across them, I wouldn't mind putting them in a chipper and turning them into the wheat field and then making cake. I like carbohydrates. All right? Would you like to have a Ken Kirchhoff cupcake?
Oh, no.
It's basically...
Was that Cliff Barnes?
Yes, yeah, Cliff Barnes.
Ken Kirchhoff.
That's wonderful. Yeah. You remember Cliff Barnes?
I do.
Yeah, Cliff Barnes on the show. Which show do you like better, Dallas or Jeannie?
Oh, I love Dallas.
Yeah, Dallas is a good show. Popular show. There we go. We're all going to be getting back together. We're a little long in the tooth. I got my second liver. But I think it's going to be...
Uh-oh.
Another piece.
Happening again?
I tell you, it won't be long. I'm going to be in that chipper. I'm going to be in that wheat field. They're going to make a cake. And I tell you, Pat Duffy, try to talk him into eating the cake. So he's going to put it back in the fridge.
Huh.
And I say, no, I'd like to eat the cake. I really would. Yeah.
All right, hold on a second.
Yeah?
I just... Barbara Bel Geddes.
Barbara Bel Geddes, lovely lady.
She's not dead.
She's still alive.
How could we have her bread pudding if she's still alive? She's 82 and retired.
She's 82, God bless.
She's not in the best of health, but she's alive.
That's her. I tell you, years ago we had some fun. And I'm, I guess I could probably revisit that. I could probably break me off a piece of that, go back and visit again. Sorry, I guess that wasn't her bread pudding. We've lost Dr. Bellows from Jeannie, but I've got a Aiden Rourke mince meat pie. Like an Aiden Rourke mince meat pie that I have right here. It's Aiden Rourke is Dr. Bellows. For those of you that really don't even remember I Dream of Jeannie, that's about as obscure a reference, and we probably even shouldn't be laughing at it ourselves. But,
here's another great Larry Hagman true story.
That is a true story. Why don't you share it with your listeners, huh, Donnie?
Larry has tried everything, Larry Hagman,
yes,
and
yes, I have.
He tripped
Here's a bottle of champagne for you. Tripped with David Crosby once and said that LSD took the fear of death away from him.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I used to obsess on the fact that I'd be in that wheat field sooner than later. And when I dropped acid, actually, I thought I was at one point an entire naval orange.
Wow.
And David Crosby was sitting there, he had a big old beer belly, and he had one of these Swiss Army knives, and put his hand on my wrist and grabbed me just in time. I was going to peel myself right there. I was going to peel myself. I would have been dead as a doornail. Mm. And little did I know that we'd have something else in common. That's, of course, we're both dealing with liver number two.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't
I'm not even scared of a 350-degree pastry oven now. Of course, I'm going to be turned into cake.
Yeah.
It'll be good cake, lemon cake.
Doesn't he have, like, a monkey liver or something, David Crosby?
His is real. You know what? He's the one that they used his stuff to get old Melissa Etheridge pregnant.
Oh, right.
Yes, I'm proud
right.
of that. I wish I said that after I talked to David Crosby. I said, use my stuff. Mm-hmm. I get plenty of it. I'll spread it around. I'll give it to Barbara Bill Geddes. She wants it.
Now that you found out she's alive.
Now that she's alive and kicking, yeah. I'll drive up and visit her at whatever nursing home she's in. If she's in a nursing home, she might not be. How old is she?
Hold on.
She's 82.
She's 82, retired,
wow.
and not in the best of health.
Well, let me take you through a scenario. This is something I think you'll all like, and all your little listeners here will get into that, too. What if I go to the Happy Hunter, Greg, because parts of my liver are coming up right now, and if I die, they put me in the chipper, put me in the wheat field, maybe in a cake batter, then make the cake, and then you could actually take it over to Barbara Bell Geddes and maybe celebrate her 83rd birthday, and then we get the whole people from Dallas to come back and eat me. Eat me on her birthday. That'd be something special, wouldn't it, Jeannie?
My question would be, though, hold on.
Now, that's Dallas, yes. You got two teams playing both at the same time. That'll be like an acid trip. Yeah. How's that? That room starting to spin around? That's pretty crazy, isn't it, right now? All right, okay.
How could you possibly have Barbara Bell Geddes bread pudding?
She's alive. What were you saying? She was dead.
No. You said
I know.
That you had bread pudding
yeah.
made from the remains of Barbara Bell Geddes.
I'm sorry. It was not a Bell Geddes bread pudding. It was a Jock Ewing Bell bread pudding.
Ah.
Right here. Jock Ewing, my dad do on the show. Daddy. Don't you remember him?
I remember.
Stern, gray hair.
Remember Jock
big cowboy
Ewing.
Had Jock Ewing.
Yeah.
Serious man. Serious guy. That's why I ended up the way I was. But I didn't remember him when I was taping the show. Hard to remember the guy. Hard to remember. I was drinking 6-7 bottles of whiskey a day.
Well, now that's
very difficult.
Wow.
That's what burned up my liver. But the
true.
Nice thing about a liver, you can get you good. Go out to buy yourself a new one. I called the hospital. I said, this is Larry Hagman. Is there a chance that I could get myself a new liver? I think mine's plum used up. And they said, well, you come right over, Mr. Hagman. We'd be happy to cut you open, put another one inside of you. Take your other one, just throw it in the trash heap. I said, no. Don't throw it away. Save it. We'll put it in the cake. It'll be great. Ms. Bell Geddes, she's alive, but but I used amputation to make the bread pudding.
Huh.
That's right. I have bread pudding, and I have a Miss Ellie donut. Which you would
wow.
enjoy very much. Very tasty for you. And so they took my liver out, took the old one. I saved it. Still have it. That's going to be used when I do that. And I got a brand new one that's ticking away. Just ticking away. You notice I'm not that strange yellow color that I am anymore.
You cut off part of Barbara Bell Geddes.
Oh, not all that much. Just no. enough to put in a batter. And I do a lot of baking right now. I've got a beautiful new baking oven. And I love to bake. And who doesn't like good cake?
Right.
That's what I always say. I can show you my liver. My old one. It's in my hat. Take a look at that. That's what keeps my hair shiny.
Oh, my God.
What do you think of that? If it's good, that's right. If I leave it in that hat long enough, it'll look like a date. My liver will be about the size of a little bitty date.
Not much of Jeopardy here with Larry Hagman, who wants to be stuffed into a wood chipper,
mm-hmm.
chunks scattered into a field.
Yeah, grow wheat.
Then it'll be harvested and turned into a cake that your family will eat.
Yeah, weedy lemon cake. I think that'll be special, don't you, Jeannie? I tell you, love coming on your show. Hey, there she is, Jeannie. Barbara Eaton. Man, what a rack.
I hope you want to play Low Budget Jeopardy. Call us right now on the toll-free at 877-365-3636.
Sure is great to be here. I love it. Who wants cake?
We're here with Larry Hagman.
I'm Larry Hagman.
J.R.
Yes, J.R.
And what was it? Robbie, don't tell me. Was it Major Anthony Nelson?
Tony Nelson, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Nelson down at Cocoa Beach.
Tony Nelson.
Had a great time down at Cocoa Beach. Yes, we were astronauts.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. A lot of fun with, you know, Major Bellows, Dr. Bellows, sorry about that. It's Major Healy.
Right.
Yeah.
Major Healy was a bad actor.
Major Healy. Oh, that's
him. Him on Newhart.
That was the guy that was on Newhart, right?
Bill, yes.
Bill Daly.
Yeah, Bill Daly. Bill Daly. Yeah, Queen.
Would you eat him?
I sure would. I think that's what we have to do. It's our civic duty. It's your responsibility. A neighbor of yours dies, you eat him right up. Hmm. Don't have to eat him raw, though. You know, make him into a cake.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Okie silly dilly dokio. I'm an idiot.
Yeah, that's true.
The Don and Mike Show. Mmm, a couple of biggins. Don and Mike.
Right, right. Damn it. What's wrong, Larry?
Look at my arm.
What happened?
I'm just showing you right there. It's nothing to worry about. I don't want you to call the authorities or anything like that, but I'm starting to turn yellow again. I'm starting to turn yellow.
Again?
I got about 3 days.
Now, is that hepatitis?
No, that's the liver. Yeah, liver checking out maybe again.
Yeah, that's it. That's
A little piece of the liver. Don't y'all panic. I'll be fine. I'll be right over here.
We're here with Larry Hagman.
How did he do?
We're going to play Love Budget Jeff Hardy now.
I'm looking forward to this. All set to go. We're really excited about the play. You want me to play the game right now?
Yes, please.
I'm craving a drink. All right. This is Low Budget Jeopardy. Now in the studio is our first challenger. This is a steel worker. Hey, I say touche to that. Steel worker from Rochester, New York. Let's say hi to Mike Smith.
Let's see if he's on this line right here. Hello, Mike.
Good afternoon, LQ. Good afternoon, Larry.
Nice to see you, Michael. And now entering the studio is a product support manager. This is a guy from Stafford, Virginia. Let's have a Steve Carrier. There he is.
Hey, Steve.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hi there.
All right, and now in the studio, I want to remind Steve and Mike not to screw with LQ.
LQ, right.
Hey, hi to Alex Trebek Geronimo. Bring him in, boy.
Well, hello.
Oh.
Hello. Good. I'm here, Larry.
Bring him in. Wrestle him on up.
I'm here.
Oh, there you are.
I want to tell you something.
I got double vision.
Oh, no.
I had a spoonful of the nana pudding, whatever kind of pudding that
bread
was.
Bread pudding. That was Jock Ewing bread pudding.
No, it was not from Jock Ewing. It definitely was Barbara Bel Geddi.
Was it really? Well, I guess my secret's out. You know, she's not really as sharp as she used to be, and I'll pop up and visit her once in a while and just carve a little piece off for the cake. Sorry, I'm guilty. I thirst for blood.
I tasted a Barbara Bel Geddi.
I'm the Dracul.
Really?
Yeah, the Dracula vacuum.
No, no.
It tasted of Miss Ellie.
Miss Ellie, great lady, great. So Sue Ellen. I'll give my props to her, too.
Here are your categories, guys.
I love the categories.
Categories are election 2004, state by state.
How about that, huh? How did he have it? Yeah, how about that? How about that president? Didn't he do a great job? Texas.
Here's the second category.
Yeah, second category.
The Dallas Reunion.
Dallas Reunion. Hope everybody watches it. All right. Come on now. A little later on, I'm going to bring it out for you. We'll try my Miss Ellie jelly. Tasty for all of you.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Doesn't have to just be a cake. We can put in any confection you want.
Around the world.
Around the world. I've traveled around the world.
Miss Ellie jelly.
Miss Ellie jelly.
How old is
Ellie,
that?
Miss Ellie jelly.
How old is that celebrity in the news?
How old is Miss Ellie?
Oh, no. This is a category.
Okie dokie.
How old is that celebrity in the news? And
oh, damn, that's a nice category.
NFL starting quarterbacks, week 9.
NFL starting quarterbacks. Love the NFL. Love the fact that the president got reelected.
So here we go one more time.
Salute. I tip my 10 gallon to him.
See, categories are election 2004, state by state. The Dallas reunion around the world. How old is that celebrity? NFL starting quarterbacks.
Whew.
What?
I'm having trouble breathing.
Mike in Rochester on WHCK. We'll start with you.
Thank you, sir. Why don't we go with election 2004 state by state for $1.
All right, beautiful. For one, this is so easy. He won Ohio.
Who is George Bush?
Yeah, we all know that. Hey. Salute to the old Ohio state. Yes, sir, the Buckeyes. That's good news. Good news for us in the country, and everybody should be happy. What do you think?
Election 2004, state by state for two.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks
here
for
we go.
Moving forward. I was just reflecting on the election.
He took the state of Oregon.
Oregon. Who is George Bush?
No.
We're going to give Stevie over here a chance to steal. Steve, go ahead.
Who is John Kerry?
Right.
$2, Oregon out there with all the loggers. I can tell you a story about a lot. Yes, go ahead. Move right ahead, boys. Yes.
Election 2004, state by state for three.
All right. He took West Virginia.
Who is
George Bush.
Right.
$3 for you, Stevie. I need you to do me a favor, if you don't mind. Just go ahead and make yourself another selection.
Around the world, for one.
You know, before we get to that category, Larry, you seem to be a little hung up on the election. You a big George Bush supporter?
I surely am. I salute that man. What a great man he is. Yes, sir. He's big for oil and business and all my business interests down in Texas, even though I don't have them.
You
are kind of playing my character, J.R. Ewing. J.R. would have loved the current president. I tell you, I'm so with Jock Ewing and Miss Ellie. Real happy like that.
He's all these smelly jelly.
Yeah, smelly jelly. I got something for you.
What's that?
I got a Rodney Dangerfield cruller for you.
Right here.
Yeah, we made Rodney into a 36 crullers.
Wow.
And nobody could be happier about it. So have a little bite of Mr. Caddyshack. What do you think about that, huh? You get some respect after you eat this cruller. I get no respect if I don't eat my donuts.
It's around the world. That's what you want, all right?
Around the world, right. Steve's in control.
Yes, around the world.
Yeah.
In the calendar year 2002, this is the most recent information you can get about world facts. In calendar year 2002, this country had the most executions.
What is, or where is China?
Give it to him, correct.
Man, Steve, you got your thinking cap on, thinking about the international world around you. And
Oh, they killed 1,067 people there.
1,067, that's
just a stroke of luck, guys.
That's a nasty
around
stuff.
Around the world for two.
All right, very good.
In calendar year 2002, this country had the highest prison population.
Where is the United States?
Right here, my friend.
$2 for Steve. He's running the table.
At the 1,900,000 of us.
That's a lot of people behind bars.
Wow.
I wish Cathy Crosby was back there. She shot me. Lock her up. That's what I say about it. And we'll talk about that and all the other things on the Fabulous Dallas Review.
Around the world for three, gentlemen.
Hope you tune in. And now try a crispy, sweet Marlon Brando spring roll. That's the Marlon Brando spring roll.
That's
right. Love that Dallas theme. It comes in loud. That's the Marlon Brando spring roll.
Sorry, came in a little too loud that time.
Charlene Tilton Nut Brittle. Well, she's alive.
In 2002, this country had the highest reported number of stolen cars.
Where is the United States?
Negative.
Mike, chance to steal.
I'm going to have to say, what is France?
No, it's Switzerland.
Switzerland, most stolen cars.
Yes, and
Shazam.
United States is number 10.
Well, how diddly damn it did that happen? I have no earthly idea.
I don't know.
I think of mountains and watches and chocolate.
Yeah.
Stolen cars.
That's right.
Oh, Shazam. All righty, Stevie, you're in control.
How old is that celebrity in the news for one?
All right, now, these are celebrities in the news. Tell me their age, please. For one, Catherine Zeta-Jones, I'll tell you why she's in the news. She's suing a topless club.
What's the dollar value on this one?
One.
Okay, my brain's going squashy on me. I'm turning yellow.
She's suing a topless club in Reno, Tahoe for using her picture in an ad. So how old is Catherine Zeta-Jones?
What is 51?
51.
51. Huh? 51. Man, what are you smoking there, son? What's the deal there? All right, Mike, your chance to steal.
What is 34?
Now, listen, it's going to be a long time until Larry Hagman's able to turn her into a cake.
Yeah, that's for sure.
She's only 35.
I tell you, great cake that would be, though. Yeah. Mm. Black Forest cake.
For two, please.
I like her a lot. Steve's in control. Wait, did you get that one, Steve?
Yeah,
Mike?
He got that
Mike
one.
Mike did, all right. $1.
No, he didn't get
no,
that
he
one.
Didn't
no,
he didn't get
that I guess 34.
That's right. He gets 34. He was wrong. That means Steve, who guess 51, might have been on some hashish, is in control.
He's at 44.
Well, anyway. Celebrity for two.
Okay. He's recovering from walking pneumonia. My man, Bernie Mac.
How old is 39?
Mike, your chance to steal.
What is 43?
Nope.
Bernie Mac, 46.
46, yes, sir. He's right up there. All right, Steve, you're in control.
I got the two of them mixed up. How old is that celebrity for three?
Of course you did. She's hospitalized for the flu, Lindsay Lohan.
What is 18?
Nope. Mike, a chance to steal.
Buzzer got you.
What is 17?
Nope, she is 18.
Oh.
Just the buzzer got the other guy.
Who's in control?
Who's in control here, please?
I'm sorry. I wasn't paying attention over here. I was just checking one of my recipes.
Steve.
Checking a recipe for John Ritter Fritters. Ritter Fritters. Want a Ritter Fritter?
Yeah.
That's good. That's tasty. Cinnamon. Cinnamon sugar.
You have any Reagan bagels?
Hey, who's that?
Reagan bagels?
He said Reagan bagels.
Reagan bagels.
Not bad.
That's right. No, actually, I'm enjoying my Reagan bacon. All right, Steve, you're in control.
Dallas reunion for one, Larry.
Here we go. He played Bobby Ewing.
Who's Patrick Duffy?
Right.
All right, that's $2 for you there, Steve.
$1.
$1, sorry about
that. Let's go for two this time. It's all right. Hang in there, Larry. You'll be all right.
Sorry, I'm starting to turn yellow.
She played Pam Ewing.
Oh.
Mikey, chance to steal.
It was Victoria Principal.
Right.
Mikey, way to go. Select again.
For number three, please.
The pop star Victoria Principal dated in the 1970s and 80s.
Who is David Bowie?
Well, there's hashies all around this game right now. Steve, your chance to steal.
Who's David Lee Roth?
No. David Lee Roth. Both these boys are sharing the same pipe.
No.
Let them keep guessing.
It's Andy Gibb.
Keep guessing, I'm going to have an aneurysm.
Oh, yeah. Andy Gibb, everybody.
Andy Gibb. All right.
Yeah, Andy Gibb.
And Mike, you're in control.
Let's go with an NFL starting quarterback for one, please.
There you go, because it's the last category on the big board, and here we go. Starting this week for your Cincinnati Bengals.
Curtis Redding.
Steve, chance to steal.
Otis Redding.
Otis Redding. His brother.
Carson Palmer.
You're Carson Daly. Mike, you're in control.
Let's go with NFL quarterbacks for two, please.
Starting this week for your Oakland Raiders.
Yul Brynner.
Steve, your chance to steal.
Who's Palmer?
No.
Palmer was the other guy. It's Kerry Collins.
Kerry Collins. All right, and Mike, you're in control.
Okay, I'll embarrass myself one more time. NFL starting quarterbacks for three, please.
Starting this weekend for your Arizona Cardinals.
Man, that's good chicken.
It was Drew Bledsoe.
Steve, chance to steal.
Could that one be Plummer?
No, that's Josh McCown.
And Mike, you're still in control.
No, that's it.
My goodness gracious, that's the end of the first round. I was eating my fried chicken with that fabulous Otis Redding breading. Man, oh, man. Real good over here right now. That's the end of the first round of Low Budget Jeopardy, Lord Quizmaster.
You know, I didn't realize that you were so Dahmer-like in your enjoyment of eating other people.
I got a freezer full of the dead.
Oh, my God.
It's tasty, yummy, tasty. And everybody tastes good if they're made into the right cake.
It's time for final Low Budget Jeopardy. Larry, what's the score here?
Steve Carey over from Stafford. He finishes with $9. And we got Mike Smith over from Rochester, New York. He's got $3 there, Lord Quizmaster.
All right, guys, here's your category on Final Low Budget Jeopardy. And good luck. We physically force you both to bet at all. Here's the category. Let's go food shopping.
Ooh, food shopping. I'd love to do that. We make some, get some mixes and spices and mix up a whole bunch of stuff.
Oh, you need some dead people.
Well, that'd be fun.
According to the Food Network, the United States has more supermarkets than any other country in the world.
How about that?
Bully.
Bully for us.
This country as the second most supermarkets. Okay?
Ooh,
so,
okay.
In the entire world, according to the Food Network, the United States has more supermarkets than any other country.
Supermarkets in country,
This country has the second most supermarkets.
Most supermarkets.
Answer the form of a question.
Question.
And? Good.
Good luck. I jumped ahead of you, didn't I?
Yeah.
Silly me. All contestants on Low Budget Jeopardy will receive a copy of my pastry chef book. Yes, sir. It's a cookbook containing a lot of recipes for cakes, pies, and treats that you can make from scratch, just like Larry Hagman in your own kitchen. Best of all, these pastries that I know you'll love and enjoy all contain the one special ingredient, human remains, and will make you talk to your neighborhood. You'll absolutely love my pastry cookbook to death. I'll show you the way, but you have to find your own human remains, and hope you enjoy these delicious treats. Now back to Final Low Budget Jeopardy with Alex from Big Toronto. Yum, yum.
It's time now on cash for you and me.
Oh, God.
It's time for Don and Mike to play Low Budget Jeopardy.
That's pretty good. Who do we talk to first here, Larry?
Mike's got to bring up the rear. Let's talk to old Mike from Rochester.
All right, Mike, according to the Food Network, USA is number one in supermarkets. This country has the second most supermarkets.
I would have to say, what is Canada?
I'm sorry, that knocks you down to zero, Michael.
Negative. Steve, if you have the right answer, you are the winner.
Hey, guys, I went with what is Australia?
Oh.
That is a
amazing. That is truly amazing. You have done it. You pulled it out, Steve. You did that all
that is
during
right.
the whole game. You are the low budget Jeopardy champion.
You gotta be kidding me. That's great.
No, dude, I'm like you went like, oh no, this. That sound means you got it right.
You got it
That's
right.
That's awesome.
Steve, you are to be congratulated, and well, you're to be damn proud of yourself.
Now, here are the top five countries of supermarkets in the world. Number five is Canada. Number four is Japan.
Oh, Japan. Yeah, a lot of people, a lot of eating going on over there.
Mm-hmm. Number three.
I like Japan. You've been over to Tokyo?
Number three is Switzerland.
Went over there and had some John Belushi sushi.
Of course, it's all done according to how big the country is.
Right,
and,
stuff.
And per capita. Then you got the UK, then you got Australia. And anyway, it's you're the big winner, and that means Mike.
Yes.
It's time for you. Oh, no, Mike Smith on the phone.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Larry.
Not Mike being Larry. Yes. It means, Mike, it's time for you to go away.
Hey-yo.
Mad. Or don't go away, mad. Just go away.
That's
Here's
right.
Larry Hagman to tell you what you won and Steve about your money. Larry.
And now, Michael, you would have doubled your score, but that didn't happen. You didn't win. Drop you down to zero, but got some parting gifts for you. Steve, we doubled your score to $18, throwing a $25 bonus for a total of $43. Don't spend it all in one place.
That's
about a thank
you? Absolute pleasure. Attaboy. Thank you, guys.
Very good. Post. And for you, Michael, we got some nice stuff for you, too. You like the restaurant?
Sure do.
Well, here's what we got for you. It's a WWE Survivor Series prize pack. WWE Survivor Series, Sunday, November 14th, only on demand pay-per-view. Call your local Comcast and Dr. Cable System out of order. Y'all digital customers, enjoy easy ordering using your digital remote. That's going to be a good night of entertainment. But we also got something else for you. The complete first season of HBO's The Wire. Now on DVD, a gritty, electrifying new breed, a cop show from HBO. That's the home theater right there in your home. Pipe it right in and enjoy yourself. Thanks, boys. Thanks for playing the game.
All right, thank you, guys. Thank you, LQ.
All right, thank you, and have a good weekend, guys, whenever it gets here. Have you thought about what you would do with the late Yasser Arafat?
Ah, Arafat. Oh, I'll tell you something right there. Make him into a nice pita bread. Want to keep that theme of the Middle Eastern thing? You know, maybe we could dip it in that sauce they all like over there. Yeah, nice Yasser Arafat pita bread. Be fantastic. We'll just put them into one of those desert fields over there in the Middle East. Sprinkle a little water on it. Grow some wheat. Make some pita bread. It'll be yummy for you. And maybe you'll make them into some hummus. Whatever they like. You know, I'm flexible. We can make anything. Human remains are just delightfully tasty if they're cooked in the right wheat field.
Human remains again. The story is Larry Hagman.
Just remember, that's what you need. Make it special now. Uh-huh. Human remains.
Huh. He wants, when he's died, he wants to put in a wood chipper.
Right.
Then have the chips turned into weeds.
Yes, there you go.
Planted in a field.
Right.
And then that weed will be made into a cake in which your friends will eat.
Yes, you can do all sorts of things. You can even grow trees. And, you know, it can be weed, it can be trees, it can be oranges. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, as a matter of thing, right now I'm growing some flowering vegetables out in my garden and using them, turn them into Reeves leaves. They should be real tasty.
Oh, hold on a second.
Yeah.
Hold on, give me the other one there.
No problem at all.
That's too good, Reeves leaves.
Reeves leaves, yes, they're good, tasty.
Here we go.
Make a cake.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden,
very, very verboten,
one man found a way.
He's bad
to bring
news.
Good news. Right. To
here,
his
here comes Lefty. Lefty Politics.
He made it up.
Lefty Politics. Okay,
Reeves
no,
leaves.
Not today. You got a commie in your newsroom. That's what you got over there. That's for sure. I'm a Bushman. Tip my thing out of it.
Reeves feces. Buzz?
Yes.
What is your lead story on your news and comments show tonight?
Oh, back to scaring people. It may not be just a cold. Coughs and sneezes bring brain diseases.
Ooh. Hey, that's great. I got a cold. Thanks. I'm already retarded.
That's nice. You can just lose your brain and I'll lose my liver. And then we'll all eat each other.
We'll have a nice dinner.
Yes, good stuff.
Well, Larry,
stay tuned for news and comments coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
Right?
Larry Hagman, that's always that was very.
Yeah, that was professional. Y'all take care. Bye-bye.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
They'll still be here after they thin the herd. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Coming to you on Westwood One, and here we go with station breaks. About Burlington, Vermont, it's AM 960 WEAV and FM 96.7 WXDQ and Wichita, Kansas. Wow. KFH, 1240 AM, 98.7 FM in Las Vegas. KSFN and
time for one more? Yes. Tampa Bay.
WBZZ.
And that's the buzz, and there is our buzz. A buzz brought to us by Duramax, the world's number one sexual pleasure performance enhancer.
Someone call for a doctor.
Doctor developed. It'll help you stop smoking. Clinically tested. It's Duramax. Call 1-888-TRY-VMAX. And now, here's Guy. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Howdy.
Well, you know, I don't want to alarm anybody, but when someone sneezes or coughs near you, they may be spreading more than viruses.
Warning, Will Robinson.
Where you love scaring us.
Danger.
The germy mist that fills the air may also carry mental illness, including depression and schizophrenia.
No.
This new discovery has researchers rethinking the causes of mental illness. A pregnant mother's exposure, for example, to the flu virus, even in the first half of pregnancy, triples the baby's chances of developing schizophrenia.
Unless this beautiful lady from Chicago.
Doctors say that now that they know this, we can cut the number of schizophrenia cases by at least 15%.
Wow.
And they remind us that before this, the biggest breakthrough in preventing insanity was learning to treat syphilis.
The first message is, hey, Rob, this is Robert the Mailman.
Mommy,
he's got to get so mad when
he's coming in next week.
Yeah, he won't be happy.
I have to tell you exactly how I got sick, and I know it. It's nothing more than a cold. It's not the flu. I don't think you guys have to flip out. It's just
schizophrenia.
No, well, always, Buzz. Uh-huh. My kid who was home for his fall break from college,
right?
Sick as a dog when he arrived at home, and again, he's just got a cold.
Right.
At one point over the weekend, we were sitting next to each other on the couch, playing the Xbox, sitting like
side by side, sort of,
like maybe a foot in between us,
right
on the couch. We're talking about some play, and I know he didn't do this on purpose. He said, "Dad, you don't realize that when you press that," and then I'm not going to do it now to get my germs all over the
place.
But he absolutely, don't take this out of context, exploded on my face.
Right. And it just got all his germs.
I swear to God, I'm wiping off the spit from my face. That's how close my kid was.
You knew you had it then, right?
No. I didn't. I just said, hey, you slob, stop it. You know, you're spitting all over me. And it's not until
he couldn't cover his mouth because he had the controls.
Yeah. Two days later, I say to Frida, you know, I can't figure out why I'm not feeling good.
Yeah.
I just can't figure it out.
Buzz was telling me your wife's got it.
Yeah,
now, right?
It's all around me. My wife has it. My boss has it. Everybody has it.
Oh, dear me. Watch out, it's coming. Meanwhile, Mommy, this juice tastes funny.
But I think my mental health is just as screwed up as it was before I got sick.
No worse. And mine is, and I'm not even sick yet. Mommy, this juice tastes funny. In Miami, customs intercepted nearly 100 fruit juice boxes as they arrived from Colombia.
Hold on. Rob, is that a great joke? That Bart treated me like Kobe Bryant.
Yes.
God.
Yes, he did. Ah, that's disturbing.
That's bad. What about my kid?
That's your kid he's talking about.
I know, but Mike, funny.
That's bad. So in Miami, they've seized nearly 100 fruit juice boxes as they arrived from Colombia. Officials say that if anyone had consumed it, they would have died. In 1990, a man died of a cocaine overdose after buying what he thought was a Colombian soft drink at a grocery store.
Oh, no.
Officials say the juice boxes in this case were not headed for a grocery store. And by the way, if anyone had sold them, they would have made well over $1.5 million.
Man, this juice gives me, boy, I tell you, it's better than Red Bull.
Hi, this is Rusty Ford for Jolt Cola.
I'll tell you, this is great if you really want to pick me up, but only drink half the juice or you'll die.
Mike, I love you.
I love you, Mike.
Well, I guess this had to happen.
I know it sounds like Bill Clinton, but it's a guy that we used to work with.
Rusty Ford.
Who sounded like Bill Clinton when Bill Clinton was still in Arkansas.
Yes, Rusty would he liked spending his money.
On Fridays.
On Fridays when he just got paid. A lot of telemarketers are finding a way around the mostly effective do not call list. 64 million people have let it be known they don't want to hear about aluminum siding while they're having dinner or watching Fear Factor. 92% of those people say yes, thanks to the list, they are getting fewer calls.
You know, Buzz?
Yes?
Who pissed me off the most
who?
The last week?
Who?
And I finally really had to be rude with them.
Uh-huh.
Was the Democratic National Party.
Yep. Yeah.
I
found it to be that way on the email.
About the fifth time that they called, mm-hmm. I said to the guy, hey, dude, this is a registered house with three voters, and we are voting for Kerry. I've told you this every single time. Mm-hmm. If you don't stop calling, mm-hmm. take me off the list. I'm going to vote for the other guy.
You think to yourself, maybe if they had put the big check mark next to you, they could have maybe moved on to other households where it
correct
would have been the,
mm-hmm.
the first call?
Amen.
Well, that's what I wonder about.
It might work to ask. It might not. You see, phone calls from charities and political groups are still allowed under the new law, and a charity watchdog group says some telemarketers are exploiting these exceptions. Quoting a watchdog spokesman, we've noticed that none of these professional telemarketing firms have had any significant layoffs, and that doesn't make any sense. They now just make the calls for charities and political groups. But in some cases, according to the government, telemarketers will masquerade as a charity just to get you on the line to talk about how they can get you out of debt. The charity watchdog group says we should also look out for fundraising calls from groups claiming to be police and firefighter organizations.
I don't deal with those.
And even on a charity
I'm
call...
I'm always polite with those people. I love the gems and jellies. I bought them last week, uh-huh. but...
No, I don't. I blow them off now. Well, here's the deal.
Really?
Yeah, I get too many calls from
cops,
police organizations.
And I don't think they're legit.
I don't think they're legit either. Yeah. I don't trust them.
Even on a charity call, if it's from a telemarketing firm, and you have no way of knowing this except to how slickly the call is pulled off, I guess, but if the call from a charity is from a telemarketing firm and you tell them to remove your name from the list, they have to, or you can press charges.
Mm-hmm.
So you still have an out.
Although I'll tell you, though, that while I did yell at the guy from the Democratic Party, I got burned on this a couple of weeks ago. One day when my wife was at work and the phone kept ringing, they kept asking for her, and I kept hanging up because it would show up as an 877 number.
Right.
Yeah, I'd go, hi, is Frieda Source there? No, she's not going to help you. No, we'll call back later.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. About five times into this, I said to the guy, listen, this is the fifth freaking time you've called my house, and I'm about to lose my mind. Take me off your list immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it's a credit card company called because they were just following up. You know those commercials you see like where the guy says,
right.
I never dreamed that I would buy a surfboard and
yeah, right,
now
right. Credit
anyway,
card fraud.
There was some charge on the credit card.
What it was. Why didn't they talk to you?
Well, because the card was in my wife's name.
Right, and they won't.
And yeah. they never bothered to say
right.
you were calling from Visa because they just had that tone. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You pick up the hello.
So you think they're trying to sell something?
Yeah.
Frieda Wright Source.
And you know how those credit card companies, they are relentless.
Yeah,
when
right.
when you have a security issue with your credit card, and which is a good thing, they call.
I just wish they would have just said, hey, it's about your wife's credit card.
Right.
Without this clandestine issue there, no, click.
I went through that, too, and found them to be very rude, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I mean, I got the call from security when they were saying, I forgot what it was. I think it was a car, an expensive car. A very expensive car, and they said, Mr. Romero, recently did you purchase a Mercedes on this credit card? And I said, I don't think so.
Yeah.
But I'm still not sure.
Better check.
Hello, Phil.
Phil? I was trying real hard,
yeah.
but that didn't work out too well.
Oh, that's fine.
Hello, Phil. Only because you've gone out on a whim so many times and bought expensive cars with your credit card.
That's the point.
That's why nobody laughed.
Hello, Phil.
Yeah.
Yes,
that's
Phil.
Right.
Hi there.
Hey, a funny story. I actually volunteered over the weekend with the Democratic National Party out here in California.
Yeah.
And I must have been yelled at by every other caller with people saying, God damn it, you've called me five times today. No more calls.
Because you don't have a national, they don't update their database.
Because they don't update the database. Exactly. I asked the lady who was running the show there. I said, how do we take their name and number off the database? And she says, we don't do that.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
That's
yeah.
great. So harass your party faithful.
Pretty good. Pretty good grassroots movement we had going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it just seemed to me that we didn't get everybody out that should have voted. And
hey.
But they made a lot. Sent a ton of... Mary Beth Cahill, you sent me a million emails.
And have you seen all
I'm
the...
I'm sorry, I'm bitter. You know what? I don't like to kick a dog when it's down either, but I'm mad. I'm still mad.
Have you seen the Republicans on TV talking about their strategy that what they did was, and I don't know if this is true or not, they're saying what they did was give the Republicans gave the Democrats a great head fake on the night of the election that the Republicans were coming out and saying, we are conceding that in the ground battle, meaning door-to-door, going out and making contact with these alleged new voters,
right,
that are going to put them over the top, there's no way we can beat the Democrats. We totally give up on this. That's their field. As it turns out, the Republicans in all of these states have, like, thousands of peoples. Listen to me. Thousands of the peoples that, anyway, that they snuck in secretly and went out and did the door-to-door thing. So, they're on the shows today crowing about the fact that this is supposed to be the Democratic stronghold. And, look, hey, we went in on the sneak.
Well, if you had looked at that election and said there would be that kind of turnout, or literally record turnout, would you have said there was any chance the Democrats had, if they got the vote out, with the great turnout, that the Democrats would have lost that election? I would have said no.
Not a chance.
No way they lose. And as it turns out, great turnout, new voters. A lot of those new voters were Republicans.
However, I do want to mention that Rock the Vote, I got to be sure about this. I'm not sure which one of the popular online services my kids signed up to vote.
Uh-huh.
They ended up screwing him up. That he had the paperwork and everything saying, right, Bartsworth, you have now registered through Rock the Vote. And we showed up at the polling place and they said, hey, dude, this is not valid. I'm not exactly sure what was going on.
We also now know that although Sean Combs was registered and did vote, a lot of the other spokespeople for Rock the Vote didn't. Weren't registered, didn't vote.
Yeah.
And obviously a lot of people didn't vote that should have still.
Right. Let me get the scoop here from Preet about this.
My mistake is I went to a wrestling website and accidentally registered for Vote the Rock.
You always do that.
I know.
Hello.
Every election.
I know. What's the matter with me?
Hey, baby.
Yeah, my boo-boo.
Which site did Bart go to that screwed him up? Was it Rock the Vote?
Yeah, but I think then they send you to vote.org or move on.
But I know he had that paper. But he had that paper from them that said, "Congratulations, you have now registered to vote."
Then he just goes home and goes to his polling place, or
well, he went to the polling place and they said,
"You're not registered,
dude. You're not on the list."
Unbelievable.
He never got the registration card, although he sent it in and he got the acknowledgement email.
Yeah, he got the confirmation email from Rock the Vote.
But he never got the registration card, so we were always, we didn't feel good about it when he went there anyway. Luckily, we don't live in a swing state, so, we were going to deal with
it. It turns out his vote, was non-existent because of this Rock the Vote thing. And I'm wondering, not to be sour grapes, Bush won. Okay. But if they really were going to sign up all of these new tens of thousands of people, and as it turns out, the numbers weren't there for the Democrats, I wonder how many people, like my kid, signed up through Rock the Vote, got a confirmation email saying, okay, you're signed up, and then went, okay, I'm signed up.
Pretty strange stuff.
When I told them that story, somebody said, well, you should call, it was something like ABC, because they were soliciting people with issues to call in.
Right.
Yeah, was it ABC, Rob?
I think it was, yeah.
All right, baby, well, go call ABC then.
Well, I don't have
any. Why would you call ABC?
Hello, Frieda. This is Peter Jennings. They wanted to hear about cases of possible voter fraud and intimidation.
Oh, well, then call us. Good publicity for the show.
Right.
Do that.
Yeah, all right.
Okay, bye, baby.
Bye.
Bye.
Right.
Now you're doing Lorne Michaels.
I did the pinky in the
right.
Right. The telephone company known as Sprint is working toward putting TV on your cell phone. It's in talks with computer chip maker Qualcomm to build a receiver.
Hold on. Tell me, is this like Reggie White speaking, or is this real technology?
This is Sprint and
that's
Qualcomm.
That's really going to happen.
This is not Reggie White. This is Sprint and Qualcomm. They're in it for the money. They're going to make this happen. Sprint talking to Qualcomm about building a receiver for the liquid crystal display that now gives you the dancing Sprint monkey or whatever logo they use. The only hurdle is that we're running out of frequencies to transmit things on, and streaming video might take up too much cell phone space, but they are motivated, they think they've found a way, and they are working on TV for your cell phone.
That'll be safe when you're driving in your car.
It just makes it safer.
Did you get cable, or would you just be stuck
no.
at 4, 5, 7, and 9?
You can get cable, but you can't go far from your house.
Imagine dialing, jams you into the back of somebody in front of you. Imagine what watching TV does.
How you watch hands-free
TV. You're right about the cable. It literally would be, if you're in your car, you would literally have cable TV, because you'd have to have the cable yes. going from your house to the car. Yeah. You could, like, drive maybe, like, five extension cords worth.
Yeah, and then, of course, you know, if you come up short and you don't have enough cable, not only does your rear bumper fall off, but you knock people down in the crosswalk.
Which reminds me of the other
thing.
So, obviously, I mean, they'll come up with the technology.
They're going to make it happen. They figured it out.
Eventually, mm-hmm. just like I was talking to somebody about satellite radio, about XM, and they were saying they're coming out with this whatever this new the thing is that you wear on your head
and your antennas
yeah.
on your head.
Yeah, but the thing is,
that's I saw that one. It's not like an iPod, but it's similar.
No, the technology looks like you have on your head a metal bowl mm-hmm. that has a big yep. stick on top of it. Because think about it, how will you get the satellite transmission unless you're walking around with this thing on your head as a gigantic tower?
I don't know, but if you have any questions about it, just take me to your leader. Our listeners are already wearing tinfoil hats.
You know, Oakley has come out with an MP3 player built into sunglasses.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah. And
that's the next thing.
And my kid, who made me sick. This is the thing. He says, I got the perfect gift for you, Dad, for Christmas. Tell me if you're interested in this. I said, okay. Because I love my iPod. I get on the treadmill every day. I love it. He said, shows me a catalog. This is what the cool people have. It is an old, real old, remember the Sony Walkman, mm-hmm. but the Walkman for cassettes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's big and yellow.
Mm-hmm.
It's just hollow. What you do is you open up the outside, mm-hmm. put your iPod inside.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're doing is you're hiding from people the fact that you have an iPod. You don't want to let people know that, forbid the embarrassment that you have an item that is popular with other people.
Mm-hmm.
You want to show that you're cool. So what you do is
you've got the old thing.
You take your high-tech item.
Right.
You pay $50 for the shell
right.
of an old Sony cassette player.
And put your iPod inside.
And hide it.
It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of. Brilliant.
Out of stock.
Not ridiculous.
Out of
Sony.
Out of stock. They're so popular.
How much you want to bet they're cleaning up a warehouse at Sony? And they say, I find a box of old shells. What do we do with that?
And hold on. Following up on Buzz's story, here are people now who have either got the TVs in their phones or seen them. Will.
Yes, Don and Mike.
Hey, Will.
Don, it is a reality. I have a friend who has a Sprint cell phone, and he has signed up for some sort of experimental service, and I have seen it work. It downloads about 3 pictures a second, and it has basically streaming audio, and he has watched TV
You know what that is? When it says downloading like 3 pictures a second,
it's TV that moves in a jerky way.
Doesn't that remind everybody of the old picture phone? Yeah. Remember when those mm-hmm. first came out?
TV will never match that.
Or like bad porn.
What is this on your...
picture of Mike. I just took it. Now that's useful technology.
Your picture phone.
Can I see it?
Yeah. Hey, here's Ken. Hello, Ken.
I look really energetic.
Ken, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hi there.
Hey, you know that that cell phone will receive cable. That's the idea is that they would send it over the bandwidth, and you would pay for cable just like anything else.
But there's concern about how much bandwidth is available, so they're looking at other means of transmitting it also.
Hey, shut up, Buzz. I'm just happy about
the
fact.
TV the thing we look forward to driving home and watching?
Yes, I just would love any way to get TV in my car.
Are you kidding? That's fantastic.
God, I'd love that.
You've got to watch the road.
Oh, yeah, Mike, I'm good like that, though. I'm good like that.
You mostly watch the road.
These are the days of our lives, Crash.
You know that your brain, I know we've all heard that thing in defending your life about it with the percentage of your brain that you use.
Right.
Your brain, you only use 10% of your brain. There's 90% that's not being used.
Mm-hmm.
And the 10% that's being used is absolutely overrun with stuff like...
Not to mention the stuff that's around your brain, the brain juice. Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
That's got smarts in it, too.
The 10%, though, is constantly being beaten down by the 90%.
Right.
Uh-huh. The 90% that's got nothing to do is always saying to you, this is why you can't drive and watch TV at the same time.
It's like the red states and the blue states.
Your brain can accommodate this. Uh-huh. The problem is the 90% says the 10%. Hey, you think you're going to be able to watch TV and drive?
Right.
Don't you see that sign up ahead?
Mm-hmm.
Says it's going to be a left turn. Better watch out for the left turn. But really, the 10% should say to the 90%, hey, screw off and give me a hand here.
It really is like the red states and the blue states.
The only problem that could possibly happen is if your brain juice leaks out.
Hey, brain juice.
We're running way late. Buzz, what's next?
We are. When we get back, the world reacts to the U.S. election results.
Oh, they love us. Don't even move on the story. I already know. They love us. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
And now, because someone has to be the dumbass, here's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Late tonight, sorry about that. Here is again Buzz Burbank.
Hi.
Here he is again. Here is Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi, Buzz.
And to save us time, the long and the short of it is the rest of the world's pissed about the re-election of George Bush.
Shocker.
And it would just be depressing to wallow in that, so we'll move on.
However, I do want to say that I did see something funny on CNN where they said, in Europe, that if given a choice, the Europeans would have selected John Kerry to be our president.
Right.
And regardless of how you feel about the election, hey, screw you, Europe.
Well, that's basically what the president is saying, and most of America.
Oh, now, come on, Buzz. But really, I mean, come on. Hey, France, eat one. You know, pound sand. Bush is screwed up, but don't tell it. You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to put our guy in France first before France tells us that they would rather elect somebody besides
Bush. Well, we're not even aware of who they elect in France, and do we pay much attention to it? They pay, the world community pays, everybody watches the United States of America.
It's because we're the biggest ass on the fence.
Right. We are.
Let me just quote.
And more popular than ever.
Just quote Alan Linewand.
So let's do this. Leave it to bloggers to keep track of the wit and wisdom of CBS anchorman Dan Rather during the election coverage Tuesday night and into Wednesday morning. The Ratherisms chronologically include...
Oh, great.
This is more complicated than the wiring diagram for some hydroelectric dam dynamo. Don't taunt the alligator until you've crossed the creek.
Yeah, okay, I remember that one.
Bush's lead is as thin as November ice. Democrats almost, absolutely, positively, totally need to hold that seat. This race is hot enough to peel paint off a house. And, folks, these are the kinds of nights that give campaign managers a case of the hives or something. One reason so many of them drink a lot. Because you have these situations in which, you think you've got it, you're right there, you're close enough to feel it, and then somebody like one of these overpaid television anchormen come up and say, you know what, the state may just not be going your way. And just before that last one, Rather also said, our coverage continues with Ohio. Hey, Kemosabe, who knows? The wit and wisdom of Dan Rather.
That's great.
I will miss Dan Rather when he's not doing it.
Hey, Kemosabe, who knows?
A contestant on NBC's Blind Date's been arrested on rape and kidnapping charges. Ulrich White of California was picked up Sunday in connection with an attack last fall.
Oh.
And I have to get this in. An update on the man in Houston whose girlfriend attacked him with a kitchen knife while he slept. He awoke in a pool of blood with 80% of his manhood missing.
Right.
And her refusing to say where she'd put it. Well,
that, yeah.
Now, witnesses tell police that after she threw it out the window of her moving car, it was picked up by a large black dog. Neither the dog nor the organ have been seen since. The woman, a house cleaner from El Salvador, is telling police that she's the victim here, that her common-law husband beat her, but prosecutors say she has no injuries and that there's never been a single complaint about abuse from her before.
Caligula. All I know is it could be some good cake for Larry Hagman.
And finally, an S&M club in Germany was making too much noise for one of its neighbors.
Wolfgang Juretzek.
A 22-year-old man who said he couldn't sleep and couldn't take the screams of delight anymore got out a gun and a billy club and headed inside the club. He was firing shots at naked people before he was subdued. The man was arrested. The S&M club, meanwhile, has been cited for noise violations. The club, of course, was hoping it would be punished. I am Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
No. That's it. We got to go. Dan, pleased to be staying tuned for Ron and Fez tonight. Uncle Ron and Aunt Fez.
Everybody's beard is getting bigger.
I'm not going to say the secret word tonight.
Yeah, they were talking about that. Right?
And I didn't mean to screw that up. Okay. Syphilis. That's the word tonight. Secure that. The winner from Baltimore. Ron and Fez coming up next on the Infinity Broadcasting Network. We will see you tomorrow with the all-new episode. Good day to you,
good
sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Feel better, Donnie.
I shall. And you, my friend.
Robbie wins.
Yeah, Rob. Rob. I've won the lottery tonight.
That
means Gary will be alive tomorrow.
Pull your punches.
So we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Too busy to meet new friends? The WJFK Dateline can change your life. Log on to WJFK.matchlink.com.
No syphilis.
Ron and Beth here with tonight's big ass word.
The big ass word is influenza.
Call in when you hear Ron say
influenza.
And win a trip to the big ass prize closet.
WJFK's Don and Mike Show is brought to you by our partner,
not syphilis,
broadband.
Infinity Broadcasting, WJFK FM, Manassas, Washington, D.C.